All right, everybody, welcome back to Joel Radio. How you doing? Joel Fragamenti, your host, joined by Corey Hall.
Yay!
How you doing over there?
Hey!
And,
ho!
Hey!
Hip-hop hooray!
Ho!
Hey!
Ho!
How
would you like... I saw that performed live by the original artist.
Did you really?
Less than 1 year ago, so...
Wow, that's...
Who would have thought?
Spectacular life you're
they
leading.
Had a good... They had a, you know, they had a series of hits, those guys.
Did they?
Well, they had OPP.
Okay.
And Hip Hop Hooray. And Everything's Gonna Be All Right.
Isn't
a lot of
it,
people don't remember that.
Rap is like everybody's a one-hit wonder. You're either a one-hit wonder or an icon.
Yeah.
Right? There's no middle ground. There's no like four-hit wonders.
It's naughty by nature.
Right.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know what I'm saying?
Jay-Z like, was okay. a legend Here's after it. One
I'm going to pull an example out of like complete nowhere. The Buckinghams. Had a couple hits. Kind
okay.
of a drag, you know.
All right.
There's none of that. The Turtles, you know. Four hits.
Yeah. They're legends.
None of that in rap. It's like you got one hit or you're...
So what is Naughty by Nature?
They're breaking the formula is what I'm saying.
They're legends now?
I guess. Apparently.
I don't know what
you know, how many rappers have one song and then you've never heard them?
Yeah, before? A lot of them. Yeah. Slick Rick.
Mm-hmm. Craig Mack.
Eric, any thoughts on...
I was kind of waiting to be like... I was like, should I wait till I'm introduced?
But no, I
know.
Just jump in or else we'll never get to you.
I understand.
Guest today is Eric Thomas, everybody.
Hi, Eric.
Oh, yeah. I'm clapping for myself. No, Tretch is still around. I can't believe that.
Yeah, Naughty by Nature. And the other guy. Remember he had the other guy who really didn't rap but was kind of the hype man?
Yeah, you just
He's
kinda...
still in it.
Wow.
Yeah,
let me ask
guys.
You, what was third base hit?
Third base, well, there was the Gas Phase.
Gas Phase.
And Pop Goes the Weasel,
Pop
I think
Goes
was
the
probably
Weasel
their bigger
their
hit.
Okay.
I think the Gas Phase is what they came
we
out
had
with.
Search from third base was a DJ in Detroit for
uh-huh,
a while.
Yeah.
Oh.
Sure.
I've never heard of third base. I guess, no. I'm, not, I guess I'm not down
third,
with it.
Third base was like the poor man's white rap group. Like they were...
well, they were the... But they wow. were like Def Jam endorsed and stuff. Though.
Right,
so they,
sure.
they kind of were... They had some cred.
Mm.
In the 90s, who was the rich man's white rappers?
The Beasties.
Oh, okay.
Know,
okay.
Well, but the Beasties really just became... they third base kind of replaced the Beasties in sort of that street level
Well, the
rap
Beasties...
Group.
No, the Beasties stopped being a hip-hop group and then became
exactly.
a...
Yeah.
They
were
whatever they are.
Whatever they
yeah.
are, yeah.
Yeah.
Alternative collective.
Once they started playing Lollapalooza, they were
exactly.
no longer
okay.
hip hop.
Yeah, and it made, right. made alternative radio stations feel like that. Oh, we're so hip, we're playing intergalactic. You
the,
know?
The history of hip hop today on the show.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I love that we sat with Eric for I don't know how many minutes and said these are the topics for the show, and we went over them,
dude.
And then we turned on the mics.
Woo! Good guy.
Old school hip hop in your face.
Yeah. Trust me, I had a feeling that would be
well,
that would go like
I've
that.
I've got serious now, so I get to hear.
Oh.
And there's like Ooh. Backspin.
You rich man, you.
I know.
How can you afford that in today's economy?
Came with my car.
And,
I still got to pay like $12.99 a month.
Yeah, that's a, but, okay.
There's like an old school hip hop channel. 49 is Backspin.
Okay.
Or maybe they moved the channels. Whatever.
Right.
But yeah, so I sit there and sometimes I'll hear like J. Rue the Damager.
Oh.
And I heard a Mellow Man Ace track the
oh,
other day,
wow.
and I went, you know, you just get these like, and you go, wow, everybody in hip hop was a blip on the radar.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Wow,
it's hard to stick around.
Arrested Development, they
Arrested maybe, Development, they went away.
Maybe a two-hit wonder.
Tennessee.
What was their second hit?
They
Tennessee.
Were, Everyday People.
Oh, okay.
Everyday People
really?
And Tennessee. Those were their two.
What
big
about
hits.
Mr. Wendell? I think you're forgetting that one.
No, Mr. Wendell was that them or was that?
Yeah, that was them.
Oh, okay.
That was them.
Uh oh.
Right.
Uh oh.
Right.
You just got schooled by Eric.
How
oh, yeah.
about you know? Anyway, so you hear all the who did Mr. Dabalina? That was
I don't remember that at all.
Do we have to get into? All right, let's change topics because we're not. If we have Mike Lundy in here or something, we can talk hip hop. But I don't think any of us are experts. I think we're gonna
no. But I did. I was like many pretentious white guys.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, Tribe Called Quest. You know, there was a brief time.
Yeah. Well, I see a lot of these guys working for ICP now because they'll come out to the gathering or whatever. And I, you know, I interviewed Coolio. I've, like I said, I saw Naughty by Nature the last
time.
Saying,
there was a time when like, I wouldn't listen to a fucking hip-hop track now if you paid me.
Yeah.
Literally.
Right.
I get paid to watch shitty movies, but I wouldn't take the money.
Well, you listen to
you don't love Chamillionaire?
Yeah, exactly.
You listen to Kanye or something, maybe.
Kanye, I kind of enjoy the spectacle of him.
Yeah.
Like when he's on Saturday Night Live, I liked what he did with the white set and the red glasses and the whole thing. But yeah, it's just, you know what I mean? In the old days, I went to De La Soul shows, and, you know, Tribe Called Quest. And I went and saw KRS-One at the Shabazz Center in Detroit, which is on Mount Elliott and Hell, is the corner of the Hellmouth and Mount Elliott.
Those are all the bands that all the hip hop bands that hipsters like, you know, say for old school hip hop, you know, like KRS-One and you know, all that.
That's exactly what it was, though. Diggable Planets.
Yeah.
Oh.
There was a couple years where hip hop was somewhat artistically relevant.
Yeah.
And then now it's every single song is about, you know, how much, you know, how much their rims cost, on their bends. Right?
It's very important.
I like how they actually put their cell phone numbers in there now so that you can call them. They actually do that.
And
they put it on the radio so that people will call in and like listen to a message or something.
All right.
It's the new social
media. But the beautiful thing about satellite is I don't have to hear that shit if I don't want to. I don't stumble across it accidentally.
Yeah.
610-552-0746.
Yes, right.
Hit me up on the cell.
Yeah.
That's our listener hotline.
If you
want to leave something, you can leave it at 610-552-0746.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So if you ever want to contribute and you can't get in.
It's the morning petting zoo with Barry and Dingle. Come on back after the break. All right, traffic and weather together on the 8th. Gonna be sunny today. Hot and sunny. Like a fried egg on a dashboard. Oh, man. Speaking of fried eggs, I was over at the Denny's the other night.
Wow.
Call us in the out of control room. Yeah. That's the worst.
Eric's actually in radio, unlike us.
Oh.
And so.
I know, yeah. And I hate all the same cliche things.
Well,
I don't know if I'm really in radio. I've been kind of finished for a while.
Well, but you're in and you're trying to jump back in.
Yes. I don't know why sometimes.
Well, because it pays money as opposed to this, which pays nothing.
Well, I mean, you know, that was kind of the cool thing is for a couple of years, I basically, you know, did what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I just did fun stuff. And got paid for it.
Yeah.
And that was the whole thing.
Okay.
And that's a nice thing to have.
Yeah.
That's the allure of radio. Yeah.
That is the ideal. But then there's things where you do stuff you don't want to do.
Well, yeah, of course.
Also in radio.
I mean, I think that, you know, once you get to a point where you're kind of doing your own show, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, if you're just kind of a cog in the wheel, that really sucks. If you're just like a DJ or something.
Yeah.
Like, because then you're just kind of in a room by yourself talking to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're starting to do shows, then you're in a room with dudes and it actually kind of works.
Yeah, that's good.
In a room with dudes. That sounds great.
Doesn't that sound appealing?
You're in a room with dudes today.
Yeah, in a room with dudes. Oh, okay. Yeah. Pants off, comparing. It's exciting.
No, no. Please. That's later in the show.
Yeah. Okay.
We usually end the show that way.
It's actually almost, you got the air on. It's almost chilly in
here. Is it? Are you chilly in this? I'm warm, but I'm fired up.
I'm wearing pants.
Of course, I set up the studio, so that's a lot of work.
Yes, it is.
It's about a 20-minute job setting up.
Here's an important safety tip from last night's comedy show.
Oh, okay.
You can never do comedy in shorts.
Yeah, don't do comedy in shorts. I agree with that. I think Eric's done comedy in shorts.
Yes, I have, and I've bombed horribly, so I'm kind of curious about that.
Because they're looking at your pasty legs.
Yeah, don't look.
They're like,
but I have good calves. Look at these calves.
Those are pretty firm.
But, you know, it's you don't want to show your weakness. You don't want to show that you could be taken out with one fell swoop.
There's something about showing leg skin
That
sort of distracts.
It makes you vulnerable or something.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's vulnerability, because I'm a disaster from shoulders all the way to calves. So as soon as I show off the calves, that is as strong as it gets.
Well,
that's a reason you never see clowns with shorts. Clowns always wear big baggy pants. Right. I don't know what that is, but comedy and shorts don't work.
Comedy and shorts are not a match. And I always see guys doing that, or you know, sandals. I see that too.
Unless you're
never wear sandals.
Yeah.
Unless you're a chick and you're wearing
Daisy.
You're wearing Daisy Dukes. Go ahead.
Go completely naked. That really is the best.
If a chick's wearing.
Hold on.
I know. Wait a minute. I know. Time out.
Have you seen some of these wildebeests in comedy? Are you kidding me? Come on. Sarah Silverman's the hottest girl that ever did comedy, right?
Yeah.
Whitney Cummings or one of these, yeah.
There's a, what about that? I just lost her name. That's never mind.
What's that deal about?
Huh?
Now it's like skinny young chicks getting.
There are lots of skinny young chicks that are now shooting to the top of the comedy.
Chelsea Peretti. Yeah, she's hot.
I know. I'm just saying. Natasha Leggero.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And of course, every girl that goes open mic in this area, I'm always like, "Well, stick with it and do it for a couple weeks, and you'll do fine." And they go. You're being a I don't want to hear from the patriarchy and you're pressing me. And I'm like, no, what I'm saying is that bitches quit every week. They never
do,
like, girls have no staying power.
I understand that.
They don't want to do it. And I'm like, you'd be blowing by me in a half hour.
Right.
You'd be headlining clubs in 6 months.
Yeah,
you just
a chance of that. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right.
Yeah.
But they never do. They never stick around.
Well, so much in comedy, the success that you have ultimately is down to likability. And if you're a good looking girl. Yeah. And it's generally men making the decisions. It makes it easier.
It's two things. It's performance and likability.
Yes.
And I'm like a 10 performance and like a 1 likability. So it's very different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've never liked you while I'm watching. I always like, I gotta hate that guy. He's making me laugh, but
you resent it. You're like, God damn, that's funny. I hate this fat tub of garbage. But it's funny.
Well, it is more. There's more to comedy success than just being on stage and having the best jokes.
That was like my ACT score.
Yeah,
I had like 100% in the English portion, and then my math was in the toilet, so it averaged out to like a 27.
Right. Okay. You know,
it was like I could have got the 33, but no.
Yeah.
But
I didn't pay for the test.
We're all do comedy. That's how we know Eric.
You knew better. You were like,
Eric didn't even take the test.
Who am I kidding? Paying for an ACT?
Exactly. I'm so fucked, no matter what
happens. They don't need that at the DeVry Institute of Technology.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm going to bag groceries.
Anyway. Remember those ads for the truck driver schools?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And isn't it weird how you fantasize just a little bit about, like, man, that'd be kind of, you know, you're out on the road, you know, enjoying the scenery.
I never wanted to be a truck driver.
Really? For a half a second, I'm like, man, that would be fun. No. You know?
I thought, essentially, as a comedian, you were a truck driver with dick jokes.
Kind of, yeah.
That's what you, I mean, you drive to a location, and your payload is penis material.
Yeah, I would drive a cab before I drive a truck, I think.
Actually, that appeals to me.
Yeah, a cab driver?
Just driving around and listening to the radio.
Sure, yeah.
Maybe a delivery guy.
UPS guy would be a good guy.
Although they got to do a little work.
They got to run upstairs and they got to get those trucks loaded and stuff.
But driving around and...
But like with a cab, you still actually have to meet the customers. And that's always the worst part of any job.
Sure.
Is if you actually
have
to interact with the customers.
A friend of mine works for Ford, and his job is test driving cars.
Oh.
So he just drives around, and he's like, he knows all the Sirius channels by heart.
Yeah.
Because that's what he does all day, is drive around and, the sync system and all.
And that would be great because you don't actually have to have people hand you money. I think that's every job that sucks a lot is when people hand you money.
This man speaks the truth, and that's the thing about radio.
Yes.
Now hopefully they hand you money eventually in radio at the end of the month or something.
Well, I mean,
but, you know,
you want to get it in a check form. You never actually meet the masters. No, it's always the middleman.
You're right. The oppressive yoke of the cash register is an awful beast.
And that's why I would hate being a cab driver, because it's just, you know, you're bumping into these people that are just being complete dicks to you, and you have to be nice to them because they're handing you the money.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's the thing you don't have in a truck driver.
The possibility of being robbed or something is terrible.
Yeah, that sucks.
I think Joel and I came to that conclusion long ago.
Yes. Hence the comedy route.
Yes. Yeah.
I have two jobs where I never have to really, you know.
Well, you have to interact with the public in stand-up.
You do have to interact with the public in stand-up. Yeah. It's true. But it's a different interaction.
It is.
It's not.
You can completely ignore them when you're done with your set if you want.
You're in a different position than you're being a slave behind the counter.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like. They can go, hey, it's Gina's birthday, and you can go, shut up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to cater to their taste necessarily.
Yes. It's perfectly acceptable to hate the audience.
Yeah. That's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
That's one of the best things about comedy. If everybody had that ability in their jobs, it would be the best world ever.
Dude, all radio people hate their listeners. I mean, that's just how
it works.
I can see that.
It's pretty evident.
Well, they call up and they suck. And then you know, if you're doing a talk show, they take the energy down. Mm-hmm. Whatever momentum you built up, they just completely ruin it.
Right, right.
Because they lie to get through the phone screener and change change the subject. Mm-hmm. And then when you meet them, they're all about, like, give me free stuff and T-shirts. You just want to strangle them.
Yes, my other show, The Fun House on W Fuck Off Radio, is a call-in show.
And ah.
Sometimes it just drags it right to a complete screeching halt. And sometimes they're so crazy that it makes it fun, but it's one or the other.
You gotta go do that show just to hear the kids that call in.
Yeah,
it's pretty. It is pretty ridiculous.
I do love taking live calls.
I've been on it a couple times, and the kids that call in are just the weirdest.
The kids that call in are,
and some of them are terrible.
Yeah, some of them, like, just have nothing to say. Hey, what's up, man?
When's that Twisted record be dropping?
but a lot of them will bring up topics and say things that are so completely off the wall that it just, it's instant. You can make comedy out of it so easily.
Oh yeah, there was a girl that called up when I was in the Juggalo studios, and that blows this. I mean, you've never seen palatial settings like that one. Holy,
we're getting a whole new one, by the way.
A new studio?
Well, we're going to a multi-camera video setup.
Really?
To broadcast? Yeah, it's
so Joe decided that he'd put some money other than a ping pong table.
No, let's move along. I don't know what you're talking
about.
He's
terrified of them, by the way.
Yeah.
Joel is terrified.
I'm terrified of who? What are you talking about?
The Coppa, the Tutti Coppa.
No, what I'm saying is you don't know what you're talking about. I'm saying...
The clown boss of bosses over there.
Listen, let's move along. I want to talk about Eric. Let's talk about Eric.
I wanted to say, when you were saying that, actually, it is better to have live callers. I do agree with that because they do know that they're going to be on. And that's kind of a challenge for them. The worst is if you actually have to tape them in advance, because those are always...
Oh, like the DJ that does the request line stuff. Like,
dude, they all.
What do you guys want to hear? I want to hear some Gaga.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then you have to heavily edit it. That's a 2-minute conversation with someone who's functionally retarded.
Can I get a shout out to Cheryl and my man Jeremy over at the TCBY over at Frazo and 12 Mile?
Yeah.
Like, uh huh. No.
Yeah.
Well, where the fuck am I talking about? Let me drive a little bit.
The TCBY.
I'm just saying.
Eric, we know from stand-up.
Yes.
But Eric also was in radio for a long time and maybe going back into it. Or do we not know?
It's
one of those things.
4th of July has been kind of a momentum killer.
Oh,
that's fun.
It is for a lot of things.
It certainly is.
Everybody takes off for a week and nothing gets done.
And that's the thing is that in order to get into radio, you have to have about 20 different people agree on something.
Uh-huh.
So even after people agree on it, then they have to have those same 20 people. One of them has to draft something. Uh-huh. Another person has to do the paperwork on this. Uh-huh. And of course, the 4th of July has really ruined that for me.
So Eric may be going back into the world of commercial radio. And,
yes.
But until then, he's biding his time podcasting.
Yeah, I podcast and I do open mic stand-up. But I spent 15 years doing radio.
Yeah,
I can hear the modulation in your voice. You sound
terrific.
Kind of a radio sound.
Yeah. I enunciate, which a lot of people think that I'm gay because
Corey thought that.
Still do.
Nothing you've done on this show has changed that.
I'll say this: that you know, I am not gay unless there's money involved,
for pay.
Bills.
Yeah, this is
right.
I'm gonna drink something that's good for your throat.
Yeah, something like a little sugar.
But Eric could go do gay radio.
I could go do gay radio.
Where is gay?
I don't know.
There's no gay radio.
There's got to be. Well, there's a gay channel on Sirius.
Yeah, it's a studio with a glory hole in it.
Gay radio.
Some people
would say this was gay radio.
You're listening to WFAQ.
Yeah, I think they have a Sirius channel.
I think Frank DiCarlo is on there.
Okay.
Used to be on The Daily Show.
So did they just talk about gay stuff? What would that be?
I haven't listened a whole lot. It's, you know.
I'd be curious as to where that conversation would go.
You'd be bi-curious.
Well, I would see gay radio being really depressing stuff about, like, you know, age treatments and, you know.
It's not.
And stuff like that. Or it would be the wildest, funnest thing about, God, I had two dicks in my mouth last night and one in my ass. And it was fantastic.
No.
It'd be hilarious.
It's a lot of talk about.
And there'd be disco music playing every second. And
it's a lot of talk about Glee.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know.
Yeah.
Out over the plate.
But isn't gay radio like the morning show with Ryan Seacrest? Isn't that pretty much?
That's basically
gay people.
Well,
that is gay radio.
Yeah,
they come in and talk about celebrities.
Yeah, they talk about the same stuff.
It's really not that bad.
I'll make a point of listening to the out radio.
That's fine.
Station,
but if anyone knows of any gay stations where they talk about, you know, blowing each other.
There's no
heated
lube.
There's no over the air gay station.
Well, maybe then there's gay podcasts.
Well, maybe there's one in San Francisco.
What was the tranny that we used to listen to?
Oh, there was a tranny that did a podcast.
In the early days of our podcasting career, we did a segment called Your Podcast Sucks. That was like, it was actually like a half hour segment that we put separately. As bonus
Joel
content.
And Corey taking him down.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We and we did.
It was Corey and Joel, by the way.
Oh, but, sorry, it was Corey and Joel. Now anyway. It's just Joel Radio. She eliminated him completely.
Yeah, piece of shit. We did a bit where we would just listen to, and back then, before every comedian in the world, like Doug Benson and all these guys, had a podcast,
mm-hmm.
It was amateurs doing podcasts. And you'd get really whacked out, weird people. We had a guy that was a trucker.
Uh-huh. And he would record it in his cab as he was, you know, sitting in a truck stop somewhere in America.
That's got to be a great show.
It was really...
driving through Missoula, Montana.
If the guy had
something.
Any personality, it would have been better. He was like, well, I got to make my load here. And I'm going to go down to Carolinas and pick up a load and take that over to Texarkana. And it was just like...
There's a lot of Smokies out there.
Yeah.
It was amazingly awful. And one of them was a tranny that was... What was the show called?
I can't even remember.
It had some stupid name like Mr. Nancy or something, right?
I can't even remember.
Wasn't Mr. Foot? What was his name? But he was like a Southern gay. So that's even better. There's like, you know what I mean? Southern gays is my favorite.
Yeah.
Because they all like, I'm going to go out to, I'm going to go sit on the gazebo and I'm going to enjoy my moon pie. Would you like a taste of this delicious round moon pie? I mean, that's it was really ridiculous.
I love the idea that maybe they hate Broadway shows because they're Southern gay. Just like it's a little bit different.
No, they still like them. They like Hello Dolly or something. I don't know what it is. It's a different
Oklahoma.
Yeah. Oklahoma. That's being a Southern gay is kind of like being like a homeless guy in Detroit in the winter.
Yeah.
Get out of here. What are you doing, right?
Exactly.
I always look at these homeless guys. I'm like, why are you still here?
Where are you going with this career you've chosen?
I think
it's 12 below. Get out of here.
Don't they all end up in like Key West or something? Isn't there some sort of
And they migrate down? Right?
Yeah, we're like in the East Coast. They might all go to New York or somewhere.
Hey, Southern gay, why don't you go to a place where there's opportunity?
Yeah, I mean...
Why would you be a homo in Montgomery, Alabama?
Exactly, yeah.
Do you know how hard it is to get Glitter and Astroglide down there? I mean, it's got to be damn near impossible, right?
Especially heated Astroglide.
Well, it's,
which helps.
Listen, honey, it's hot down here, so you just sit out in the sun for a couple minutes.
The lizard lick it.
No, I just put on some shorts and walk over to the Piggly Wiggly, and that's all I need to do, and it heats it all right up. You don't even need to worry about all that. Right.
And Joel's becoming undressed while we're
what?
I'm not getting all hot in my collar.
Joel's like trying to get back on script.
Yeah, it's
God forbid I do shtick for a couple minutes, for the love of Christ.
Well, I'm just saying, I have a list of topics here that I wrote, and we've talked about none of them.
Forget that. Let's look at your mail enhancement pills.
Yeah, I do. Well, those were...
Holy shit, really?
No, those were...
That extends, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I do. I have
and
that.
And one is missing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'll explain. I can explain.
Now, this is a dilemma. Where did that pill go?
The thing is...
Lord of mine.
I was not hiding it because it's pinned to a billboard, bulletin board.
I was given those on my birthday... Or around my birthday as a gag gift.
Oh, land of Goshen. I'm getting the vapors.
A gift and a suggestion.
Well, no, listen. our friend Harry Arten Barbarian gave me those. Mm. And I took one on stage at Club Bart before the show.
Yeah.
So I would get ready for the show, and I was there, and I took one as a as a goof. And, so I do have extends, which
but
we won't be trying out.
It's interesting you say that, because actually even the old radio shows, they used to do the same thing, dude. You write out a bunch of things, and then you just kind of wind up in random conversations.
Right.
It just kind of...
But I'm actually trying to... I'm going to focus the show.
I remember when we were on a broadcast, we did sit down and have meetings. And
sure.
We
planned segments.
Let's have a plan. And then we were doing demos to even get on. We had all... And
our demos were good, though.
Yeah.
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 But we planned it all out, and then that all went.
Well, I think it's just a different thing. When you have a demo, you want to get to the root of you know, the thing with making a radio demo, and you can advise us because you would know,
yeah.
was either to take something we had already done and cut it up into, you know, little bits that here's the best of us.
That's a radio demo.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
But we thought, since we were doing podcasting and we were trying to get on commercial radio, that we would just record something new because we wouldn't have all the language and things that we do
yeah,
on this show.
Actually,
so we sort of recorded it for to be broadcast safe.
Well, you know, not to get all, you know,
well, go ahead.
The
get
industry.
However you gotta get.
But the first thing, because you send somebody your demo and that's your demo, right. which is the best of, and it's exactly what you do. They actually call it unskimmed is
okay.
what they send is what you send the second time. Huh. That's how you get the job.
Okay.
That's usually like the second interview.
So the unskimmed then is like the full, you're
is
saying.
The full,
is the full like
here is what I'm going to do
on
your
show. This is a whole show, yeah.
Yeah, this is what I'm going to do on your
sure.
station.
Right. So we ended up doing that live and, you know, whatever.
And then we never got, and then we never got the air checks.
Well, they fired the, oh yeah, and then we never got that.
We were stupid, never got the
right.
air checks.
Oh,
yeah.
wow.
We asked the guy for them later and they were like, we don't even have those. I was like, okay.
Did you guys have meetings with Craig?
We did. Yeah. We had lunch with Craig. That was how we first got hired.
What a surprise.
We had lunch with Craig.
Oh, he loved that corporate card.
Did he? Yeah.
This is the best part. We went we had an agent who was questionable at best. And he was going to meet us out at like a steakhouse out in like Farmington Hills.
Yeah.
And we went there, and Craig was like a half hour late.
Oh, I think he was more than
40
that.
Minutes.
First of all, we didn't really know what he looked like.
Yeah,
I don't know if he knew. I know if he knew what we looked like.
Yeah,
and he was about an hour late, and
that's
we were
him.
Sitting there going like, "Do we leave?
Yeah,
what do we do?"
Joel
we're
and I are sitting there with like French onion soup, going, "I think we got punked."
We didn't know.
I'm pretty sure
that our agent is such a wacky guy.
Ashton Kutcher is going to pop out at any minute now and tell us that we got punked, and then he rolled in.
Yeah, that is him. He did that even at meetings in his office. We get to his office and he wouldn't be there for like 30 minutes. And some of the other shows would be bitching
about it. An interesting guy. I heard he was at Sirius now or something.
He is. He's the VP of Talk.
All right, there you go.
Well
there you go.
Let's badmouth him some more.
Yeah, really?
Well, I mean, that's just... Hold on a second.
I didn't badmouth the guy.
Oh,
way to turn off your cell phone.
Sorry.
This is what happens when we bring an amateur into the studio.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, the guy has his phone
all these
on.
Years of professionalism.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right down the toilet.
What's the penalty for that in commercial radio, having your cell phone on?
Spankings. It's a lot of fun. It's a big moment. Everybody
takes
their
belts off. But I think there's got to be some sort of...
usually just try to...
Is there a sign in the studio that says, turn your fucking phone off?
Actually, we used to have a sign that said that.
Yeah, because I turn mine off. Corey sometimes will either silence his or...
Mm-hmm. Mine's generally off.
I actually turn off my radio. I put it in airplane mode because it'll interfere with the board.
I'm not saying I hadn't... It hadn't gone off at
right.
some point.
It does.
That happens.
Anyway, let's get into... So since we talked to you last, we did this big... me and Corey ran down the history of Club Bart, I think, the last time we talked to you guys, which I guess was about 2 weeks ago. We did the final show, which was a goddamn... You know, for all of Club Bart was this crappy show that nobody liked, hundreds of people showed up to watch it go down the tubes.
Yeah.
And... it was very emotional and very heartfelt that everyone came out and had a good time.
It was a great night.
I put on 40 comedians that night.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, we did 3.5 hours.
Let's be honest. You put on 27 comedians.
Well, I put on 40 people.
Some other people.
Certainly felt like it.
Now, I'm not including when I put the cook on stage or anything. Yeah. No, I'm not counting that.
That was Pete.
It was
great. He went up
comedians.
And went, hey, thanks. It's been good to be cooking.
Yeah. Pete is the Serbian cook.
I like to make a steak for you.
Yeah.
Salmon steak tips.
Yeah.
I'll be at the Coney.
So I asked him to.
That's it. He got a new job at a Coney Island where his job will be to put chili on a hot dog.
Well, apparently his deal is that, like, he was good at Club Bart because he was a good cook, but he didn't cook fast. And so he was good for Bart's because nobody really cared. It wasn't high volume.
Sure.
Like, you know. But at Coney Island, I guess you have to be quick
because
they are high volume. But the food's easier to cook because it's not as good.
Going
to
be a problem.
So they're wondering if he can really.
Well, it's a simpler menu.
Sure.
If he can't do a grilled cheese, he's going to be
exactly. So Pete got up and Bart got up and Todd got up and everybody got up and got a very sad night. It was people really love that Club Bart. Apparently,
the tears of a clown. When there really were at least at one point about 130, 40 people in a room that seats 60.
And then there were like probably another 20 out the front door, another 20 out the back door.
Yeah.
And it was just jam-packed.
And it came, people came and went all night. It was a crazy thing.
It was a wild show. But thanks for everybody for coming out to the last one of those.
And Joel cried like a little bitch.
I did.
And it was,
well, I actually wrote all about Club Bart, if anyone wants to read that. I haven't plugged it on this show. It's on joelthecomic.com, which is now all new and relaunched. And you can go over to joelthecomic.com. It says, goodbye to Club Bart. You can read that. And it's long. It's 2,400 words. Did you read it, Eric?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, so, it was very good.
Thank you.
And Eric kept his streak alive.
Well, come on. Now, you only say this about Eric. Go ahead. You might as well say it. But
Yeah.
I don't agree with this sentence.
Eric went 0 for Club Bart, and
right,
that's...
Here's the funny part is that...
It was a hard room to do.
But here's what happened is that when I was 21, it was when I first did Club Bart.
Yeah.
And it was my absolute first time I'd ever done stand-up. And I did really well. Like everyone laughed. Never again.
Never again. Yeah.
Then never again.
You always say you went 0 for Club, but no, Eric did fine. I mean, listen,
but that was an almost impossible room for some guys.
Well, that final show, almost nobody did well, just because everyone was there were so many people in there chatting that it was very hard to get their attention. You got their attention.
I did a thing that was about the show.
God, I have that on tape too. You know why?
I
could play some of that, but it's 10
minutes.
It's
a long thing.
Yeah, I could play some of that. It's actually on the phone.
It's a long
actually, I kind of had fun that last set because it was like I started screaming rape for some reason. I started screaming that just to prove that no one was paying attention.
I screamed that many nights at Club Bar.
But I screamed rape and nobody even turned around, and that was the whole point of it. Well, actually,
this whole Bart's closing thing is a perfect example of don't know what you got till it's gone.
Yeah, really.
Because the paroxysms of just pain and anguish that Bart's was closing all of a sudden all over.
Everyone came out like
the interwebs in the Detroit area.
It was not unlike, like a funeral and then, people show up that you hadn't seen the guy in 10 years or something.
Yeah.
And you go, I really loved him. And it's like, well, you weren't there. You didn't seem to care. But,
You can't get in touch. We did have some old school people that showed up. Ann Hubbard, the bag lady of comedy, showed up. Just found out she has a hot daughter, which is dismaying.
Wow.
Very alarming to me.
Out of that DNA mix.
You know what I'm saying?
You
ever look at a woman and go, never was attractive. And then you see her daughter and you're like, oh, maybe.
Yeah, the daughter. No, I know what you're saying.
Maybe she had.
I'm not going to comment anymore on this topic, but go ahead.
But it's like Anne's been old and shriveled as long as I've known her. So I couldn't picture. Yeah. And then I see the daughter and I'm like,
there
bitch.
You go.
Nice.
What are we talking about? Club Bart and everybody. Dalen Chance Seymour came back.
Yeah, Dalen was there. That was
Dalen Seymour came back.
Brill Hildebrandt was there.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a lot of
some of the old favorites.
A lot of good.
Mark Goldberg was there.
Mark Goldberg was not there, but
Derek Stefarik was there. Was
never ever own a neon.
Yeah, exactly. Simba was there.
So Club Bart is gone, and it was very sad. And that was Thursday night for 13 years. About so
we'll see what happens now.
Yes,
plug time, Joel.
Go ahead. You can you plug it. I'll plug.
Here's what's happening with Club Bart. We'll get this out of the way right away. Joel has set up a deal with Go Comedy in Ferndale, which is an improv house.
Yeah, it's a little improv theater.
It's an improv theater, and it's a nice place. It's got a great setup, professional light and sound. Mm-hmm. It used to be a Secretary of State's office.
Secretary of State's
office. So it's amazing what they did
to
it.
It's like the DMV for people in other states.
Yes.
It's like the DMV.
No, it really is. And you go in there, and you're like, wow, this is amazing, because this used to be where, dispassionate fat black women sat and looked at a line of schmucks.
Can you plug
about, you know what I mean? And there's no evidence of that, right?
And
next in line.
And people are just staring holes through them, just like,
look into the lights.
It's funny that something comedy can exist in the least funniest place.
I know,
Earth.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm late to go back to work. But fuck.
So they did a great job with it. And they run improv most nights of the week.
They run 5 nights a week they do improv.
And they have like sketch shows, like written sketch
They have written
plays
like play
stuff.
Type things, and they do sort of more open improv. Like they'll do 2 shows a night with different people.
But it's a cool theater, and it's the only improv theater in Detroit right now.
Yeah.
So it's got a name in comedy.
It's only been around for about 3 years, but they've been successful.
But they haven't done a whole lot of stand-up, so this will be an experiment.
They've done occasional stand-up shows with different people, but this is the first full-time comedy show. It's called Stand Up and Go with Joel Fragomeni, and I will be hosting this every Thursday night, keeping the Club Bart spirit alive, but maybe not necessarily a lot of the same things that we did at Club Bart will probably not translate to this.
The first show is the 14th?
The first show is a week from today as we're taping this, July 14th. And if you want to know more about it, go to joelthecomic.com, and it'll say Stand Up and Go right on the front page there. You click on that. There's a link to free passes if you want to come in, and you can get in for free. And it's going to be an open mic. I'm booking sort of the first couple of shows because I'm trying to make the first couple shows really good. Because the Go Comedy guys, like, they want, they're excited for it. They think it's going to be good.
Yeah.
But they're not saying, like, I'm going to get to do this forever.
Oh.
So it's like, you know, you want the first couple to be good, so they'll say.
You're like a crack dealer. First couple, make sure they're really good.
I'm going to make sure the first ones are good, so I'm booking people on the first.
So come out and make this happen.
Yeah, Stand Up Go. It's really fun. If you're in the Detroit area, come out. It's at 10 p.m. Thursdays. And, you know, like I said, more info on joelthecomic.com. Click on Stand Up and Go right there on the front page, and you'll see all about it.
Awesome.
And just free passes, like I said. And I'm trying to keep the Club Bart spirit alive. But, you know, like I said, for the first one, it's not going to be like you just get go and sign up.
Mm-hmm.
It may become that as time goes on. But I feel like I'm going to make, you know, a two-hour or less show in the beginning and start it earlier. Because what the idea is, too, to get people is that people that go to the early show, whatever it's improv thing they're doing at 8, they'll be able to stay for the stand-up as well.
Oh, okay.
If they want.
Cool.
So, you know, that's why I can't start it at 11 because those people will want to go
Thursday
home.
Doubleheader for you Go Comedy fans.
If you're going to pay for the 8 o'clock show, you can also get into our show for free.
That they've done stuff like that at their improv shows already where they have like a late show that you can stick around for.
Yeah, so we're doing that, and that was, you know, and I've collaborated. A guy, Christy Angelo, who is a guy that I literally met the first time I ever did stand-up in my life. I think he went on after me, or I went on right after him.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's the guy that he's one of the partners in Go Comedy. So
awesome.
I have this old school connection that's helping me out with this. But those guys, they're really good guys over there. I think they're optimistic about it. They're energetic about it. And hopefully we'll get a whole new group of people that would have never gone in there to watch improv. Because I think stand-up and improv are different audiences. People that might like one may not like the other. And so I think we're bringing a whole new group of fans to it.
Yeah.
And hopefully... you know, and there are going to be some people that do their improv that are either in their classes or in some of their shows that are going to get up and do stand-up at the stand-up shows. I know that already.
Uh-oh.
So, you know, but you know what? Hey, we're coming to their house, in a sense, and we will be polite, and we will make it as easy. Look, stand-up's hard enough without us having to do a fucking goddamn thing to them. For them to get up on stage alone and try to be funny is challenging enough as it is.
We'll be very polite for two or 3 weeks.
And, you know, well, it's also a place that they've done stuff before, so they're always going to be a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah, they're going to be...
I know a lot of people that work over there, and they're cool people. There is kind of a beef in the greater industry between improv and stand-up. There's kind of a...
Yeah.
It's two different hemispheres.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see why they can't come together.
They could come together, and it's not like the show is going to have improv on it. It's a stand-up comedy show. There were people that, you know, from the improv world that are going to want to try stand-up that would never have gone to Bart's or the Comedy Castle to do it. So they're going to come in and they're going to try to do it at this.
They're soft.
Well, whatever. And, but, you know, again, like Eric says, they may feel comfortable. They may feel comfortable on the Go Comedy stage. Yeah. And so whereas us, we're going to sort of having to be getting used to that.
Yeah.
Although, you know, I've been on a thousand different stages in a thousand different shitty places.
I'll tell you what, Joel.
And so to be at this place, which is a nice place.
If it's not going...
Yeah, thank you.
I'll tell you.
Thank you.
Just put in a...
I've seen a million faces and I've rocked them all. I'm a cowboy, Corey. Did you know that? On a steel horse I ride. All right.
There's a bow on that.
That's pretty good. Here's what you do, though. Since you're in an improv club.
Yeah.
If it's not going well, just let me tag in.
Yeah. No, see, we're not going to do any of that. We don't want. Okay.
If Thomas is up there bombing like he usually does, I'll take his premise and I'll run with it. You know, you're like,
shit like that is going to, well, they're going to.
Come on. Can you drive this?
Listen.
Were talking about cell phone minutes. I got a bit and then just tag in and you go right into it.
And then I can tag in for you. Okay. We're yelling now.
This is what's going to get us thrown out of the. This is what's going to get us thrown out of the fucking Go Comedy show. All right. We're not going to have any of that at the show. We're going to be professional, stand up, do it.
That was a fun one.
But we're gonna go in there and we're gonna put on some. Listen, I figure if we put on the Club Bart show,
you'll be out in a week.
No, 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 no. What I'm saying is, we take the Club Bart show, we edit, we refine it,
improve it,
we refine it to where. You know, we will pick our comedians. We'll limit the length of the show. We'll have a nice setup, a better setup, and we'll have in a place that actually has comedy in the fucking name of the place.
No, that's a good thing.
And I think that show being put over there can only be successful.
And let me say this,
was like a political speech, just really.
I don't want to be what I normally am, which is a prick. About this show, because I want this show to do well.
Thank you.
And I think it has the best chance because you're right. It says comedy on the door.
It's comedy on the sign.
And you're going to charge a cover.
There is going to be a cover unless you get the pass.
There'll be free passes, but there'll be a cover. And that always makes it better, I think.
People will have something invested in the show if they pay money to see it. And I think
absolutely.
That
there are a couple other shows that are springing up around town.
Yes.
In the aftermath of Bart's.
There are, yes.
And some of them, and one in particular... Good God, no. That's all I have to say.
Are you referring to the one that you've been to or the one that's starting tonight?
No, the one I've been to... Now, see, this is the... It's going to be like... it's like when the Beach Boys, started falling out in the 80s, right?
It's nothing like that, but I know what you're saying, though?
When the Beach Boys fell out in the 80s, there was like... They started all touring under different... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like Mike Love and Al... And, you know, Mike Love and Bruce Johnson were touring for a while.
Yes, they are the official Beach Boys,
I believe. And then Al Jardine was touring.
Al Jardine got Al Jardine and Friends, which was like the Wilson Phillips girls. And
like, you know what I mean? Yeah, and then Brian
Wilson is
then
solo,
Brian would tour.
Yeah.
So there were like multiple different Beach Boys, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
This is what's happening with the Club Bart Comedy Night. What's amazing to me is how people want to maintain the legacy of a show that they decided they hated for years and
years. I'll do a little bit of a mea culpa just on that. When I got the call that Club Bart was going to be closing, we only had like a one-day warning. I agreed to help out Todd, who originally started the Club Bart comedy show and then had really nothing to do with it for a good dozen years. He wanted me to go over to the other place he works, O'Mara's in Clawson, where we used to do...
Berkeley,
I'm sorry. Where we used to do an open mic years ago that kind of bombed.
Yeah, whatever.
And he said, will you come and help us out? And I said, sure, and I'll, you know, just because I was, you know, being a good soldier.
Yeah.
And then when I thought about it, I thought that Go Comedy would be a better thing because it's around the corner from Club Bart, and it's got, you know, it's a nicer place. So I thought it would work better there. So I called them, and when all of this went down, he said, well, let me talk to my partners when I call Chris D'Angelo. So I found out that the Go Comedy show was going to happen.
Yeah.
As I was like literally walking out the door to go to Club Bart's final show.
Ah.
So I sort of knew all along that I was doing this Go Comedy thing, but out of respect, I didn't say, "Hey, I've started this new show at Go. I'm going to start this new show on Go Comedy."
Okay.
So I just kind of let it lie, and then everyone was saying, "Well, Joel's going to go at O'Mara's and run the show on Thursdays." And as it turns out, I was unable to.
Well, O'Mara's show is on Wednesday.
So now it's on Wednesdays. And I'm not really officially connected to that show in any way. Corey's appeared at the first two.
I've been there, and Todd Starks is over there. So
yeah, but I wish them all the success with that. But for me, I feel like my energy is going into this new show at Go Comedy, and this O'Mara's open mic will be what it is, and I hope it's successful. Yeah. I think comics need a place to play every night, and I hope that it's good. But
there's all kinds of open mic rooms around.
There are.
It's crazy.
There are more open mics than there have ever been, and I want to put a warning out to any comedians that listen to the show.
Yeah.
Just know, look, stage time, I should never tell a comedian who's starting out that they shouldn't get stage time.
Mm-hmm.
But there are places you shouldn't get stage time. And one of them is a newly announced open mic.
Well,
you have to
hosted
say what it
by
is.
A complete lunatic.
Well, listen, I don't want to bag on this guy, but a guy...
I do.
This is what a guy did, Eric. I don't know if you've seen this. A guy goes on Facebook and says, here's the new open mic that's replacing Club Bart. And it's at a coffee shop in Hazel Park.
Okay.
And I'm like, I don't know if... What is my protocol? Should I tell this guy, like, hey, look, don't use Club Bart to promote your piece of shit. It has nothing to do with it other than it's at the same time.
Yes, you should do that.
I should do that.
And also, I think it's a good idea to say who it is on the podcast because in the
event... Well, I mean,
it's a great idea.
His name's Ted Riott, and he can fuck himself.
Because if you don't say his name, there'll be a lot of other people that might take it
as offensive. Okay,
now,
good point.
Okay, The Painted Lady in Hamtramck's doing a show run by Lauren Uhalik, who's a lovely girl.
Yeah.
Go do that one. That's a good time.
Okay.
But look, this schmuck in Hazel Park.
Listen, I don't want to make... I have no problem with
him. I do.
Okay, but I don't. My problem that I have is that he's using this as the replacement for Club Bart, which it has nothing to do with that, and I wish he wouldn't promote it that way.
Yeah. Hmm. I wish he would promote himself off a cliff.
I mean...
That guy never went on earlier than 1207
yeah,
in the evening,
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
Never cracked the top 20 at Club Bart. Just brutal, awful...
Right.
It's not even comedy. It's it's like hate fuck with a microphone. It's really just the most
he's eye contact.
He's a guy who has a lot of ambition and not a lot of material, and you know, tries. I mean, he does give an effort, but it's so. You know, I mean, it's one thing to be...
This is the most diplomatic Joel's been. It's amazing. A guy who's, like, actually done some real radio work shows up, and Joel suddenly...
No.
Joel just turtles in the fucking shell.
No. Wait a minute.
You're like a circumcision in cold water.
Nothing inaccurate.
You just turtled in the shell.
Have I said anything inaccurate?
Turtlenecked.
Have I said anything inaccurate?
What?
No.
He sucks a dog. That's what you gotta say.
You're saying it, not me. But you're saying it, not me. I'm not the one who... I mean, listen, all I'm mad about... This guy can do whatever he wants. Listen.
Take
Club Bart, which I feel I have some ownership of.
Yes.
Even though I didn't own that show or the club, I do feel like it was kind of my thing.
And you have somebody basking in your glove.
And I have a show where I did invoke Club Bart on the free pass for Stand Up and Go.
Yeah.
Which is available at joelthecomic.com.
There you go.
It's an open message.
Okay.
You talentless, skeevy scum sucker. You're not funny. You have no talent.
Well.
You are likely deranged. And Joel used to have a nickname for him, Boot Knife. And
that was your nickname.
Was
that
my nickname
for
him?
What are you talking about? My nickname.
Now look, you're not a comedian. You've never been a comedian. You never will be a comedian.
Listen.
Find some kind of therapist or some other way to get your hostility out. Because let's imagine that Dave Attell, Louis Black, Louis C.K., Colin Quinn, Nick DiPaolo all jizzed on a cracker and you ate it. You still wouldn't be funny. No talent piece of garbage.
My feeling,
that's what you gotta say, Joel. Lay it down on the ground.
My feeling is that this guy this person running a show in the venue he's running it in will likely not be successful.
Sure, we don't need
to do anything. So part of me feels like we'll just let nature take its course and this thing will go away.
Right.
But I also feel like there is a show for people that loved Club Bart and want to continue.
And that is Stand Up and Go.
It is called Stand Up and Go Comedy
Improv Theater in Ferndale.
That's right.
Is, what's the address?
261 East 9 Mile Road
in
Ferndale, Michigan.
Awesome.
Just east of Woodward Avenue.
Everybody go.
Across from City Hall. So Stand Up and Go. And Corey will be on one of the first shows. Eric Thomas will be on the 14th on the very first show. So
indeed.
Please come out and support that. If you're in the Detroit area, get a free pass over on joelthecomic.com. And,
I will probably stop by, but I will be working at the Comedy Castle.
You're working at the Comedy Castle on the 14th, so Corey will come by and... But yeah, so anyway, so I'm excited about that. I hope everyone supports that in Detroit, the Detroit comedy circles. And, and if somebody else wants to run a show against it, that's fine.
Well,
but I think my thing has always been, if I was going to start, is I don't like to run against another show. There's sort of a common courtesy that I feel like we're all in this together.
Well,
you know, my show is after the Comedy Castle ends, so it's not competing against them.
Not to pull a wrestling analogy, but comedy right now is kind of like... wrestling was in the 70s, where there's just territories and guys running their own shows. We need an NWA. We need a unifying body.
You're completely wrong. My feeling is that just like I don't want to put another show out of business.
Sure.
But then this guy starts a show against my show.
You can't have four open mics.
You
can't have four open mics on the same night.
Yes.
In Detroit, in a city like Detroit.
Yeah.
Maybe in New York you can do
it. Yeah, exactly.
Because there's 8 million people and, 5,000 comics.
Right.
But in a city like Detroit, where there's a limited number of resources, let's spread them out, and there's a little bit of pie for everybody.
Sure.
So the O'Mara Show is on Wednesday night, hosted by our friend Harry.
And they gracefully moved to Wednesday because of the Go Comedy Show. So I want to thank Todd
and by the way,
and Harry for
Tuesday night over there, they have a psychic.
Well, of course.
No, seriously. So
wow.
I'm sure the psychic outdraws and gets more laughs than the comedians ever will.
Wait a second. They have a psychic?
They have a psychic. It says,
what is that? What do they do?
It's called Ask Cookie.
I win.
Oh, my fucking God.
You know what? I saw Cookie Tuesday.
Oh, shit.
And Cookie told me that no one would be coming to the open mic. And she was fucking dead on.
See, now you're being mean.
I am. See, that was me being mean, but I was for comic book.
What? Now, I meant every word I said.
I know you'd said about Ted Riott, but you know.
Look, yeah. Oh, he. Psychics. This guy. This. You know how creepy this guy is.
Oh,
he came
on.
To a bachelor party and freaked everybody out.
Yeah.
He insisted on getting whipped by the strippers.
Yeah. How do you creep people out at a bachelor party?
He did it.
It's an inherently creepy thing.
He
anyway.
Did it. People out at the bachelor party.
Nice.
We took heat for that bachelor party. That was years ago.
We did.
In the very early days of the show, yes.
I'd taken heat from
you. We outed people because one guy wanted to fist fight me and you know.
Look here.
Yeah.
I'll take heat from you pansies every day. All right?
Nice.
You're like a fucking heat lamp. I can handle your heat.
Okay.
Yeah, pansies.
You can absorb.
Stand up and go.
It's a hot
night.
You're bounty for heat.
That's right. I'm a kettle and you're a hot plate. Let's bring it on. I can take the heat.
Get all your information at joelthecomic.com.
Yes.
Stand up and go.
Can we talk about Casey Anthony?
Do we have to?
I love it.
All right, go ahead.
All right, well, did we cover? I think we've covered all that. And
yeah.
Let's go to the phone line.
Rick and Frazier, you're on.
Read goodbye.
What are your thoughts about Casey Anthony?
If you can read goodbye to Club Bard, it's 2,400 words. I think people will enjoy that. I spent a lot of time writing that. And read that, too. You'll enjoy that.
You're back with Barry and Dingle. We're taking your calls on Casey Anthony.
Yo, what'd you think?
What did I think about Casey Anthony?
Yeah.
I think that I feel that she did get a sentence today. She got like 4 years for various counts of.
Yeah, but she's going to be out Wednesday.
Yeah, she's out.
Oh, they're letting her out?
She actually, Casey, if you're listening to this, come to Stand Up and Go next Thursday night at 10 p.m. at Go Comedy.
She can make
special
it.
Special guest
on East 9 Mile Road.
Casey Anthony.
Well, that's why we delayed the show a week, so Casey could come.
Nice. Her and her luscious boobs.
I almost would put that in the ad if I wasn't worried that the Go Comedy people might find that offensive.
They were talking about how hot she was on Stern, and I kind of...
She is hot.
I did prickle a little bit at that
one. She's kind of hot,
That's too crazy for me.
She's a little hot, yeah.
Really?
No, I have said...
She doesn't want kids, and that's something I agree
I have
with.
Said...
No, she says she wants to get pregnant again.
She wants to get pregnant
that's
again?
What they're saying, yeah. She wrote a letter while she was in jail to somebody, and she said, I can't wait to get pregnant as soon as I'm out of
Why?
Jail.
Why? Okay.
Now, if she kills that one, then we know.
Well, then we know.
Now, here's the deal. I've said on the show for years, and I've said in my private life to anyone who'll listen, crazy pussy is solid gold.
Yeah.
But it's much like... It's much like when you get like a double cheeseburger from Five Guys. It's a sometimes food.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? It's not something you can live on every day. Right?
Yeah.
So Casey Anthony has now got to be the Octomom's sad because she's
sure.
like,
right.
I was the craziest lady.
I'm officially inviting Casey Anthony to the hot tub.
Yeah. Okay.
I want to just put that out there if she's willing to come by.
Mm.
Open invitation to the hot tub.
She does drown things in pool.
Yeah, I know.
So
there's no babies allowed, but Casey can come.
Hold on. There it is.
Oh, thank you. Up top. There we go.
Give you that one.
No, but have you watched like headline news and like watched the outrage of like people just freaking out about this? And they're like, how could the jurors do that? They had no evidence. There's no evidence.
I disagree with you for one, Eric.
Okay.
I think that it is a circumstantial case. A circumstantial case means there's no witnesses.
Yeah.
There's not even maybe direct witness evidence like blood or DNA or other things to connect her to the crime. But the fact of the matter is that this is a 2-year-old child. She didn't get up and leave the house on her own.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She was found with duct tape and in a plastic bag.
But
my feeling is the circumstances, there was really only one person that could have killed her, and that's Casey.
But they couldn't prove that she was actually the one that did it.
But the fact that nobody else could have killed her proves that she did it.
But that's...
Listen to me.
I'm listening.
Let me finish.
I'll let you finish.
And the problem is that in a high-profile case like this, that jurors take the standard of beyond a reasonable doubt to be actually higher than it really is.
Yes.
And you know, there's no... The law doesn't define what beyond a reasonable doubt is. It is whatever you think it is.
Yeah.
So if you think that you absolutely have to have DNA or a weapon or a method... You know, there are people who have been convicted of murder in the first degree without a body.
Yeah.
You know? And so, really, I feel like when you have a high-profile case and then you sequester, you get jurors from another county, which is what they did here, and you sequester them away, that really the easiest thing to say is, well, you know, you didn't meet your burden of proof.
But we'll
let you go.
I think...
And I feel like it's too high of a standard. Look, no one else could have killed this little girl. And she could have died. And maybe
wasn't
the,
that the same
the prosecution?
Wasn't that the same situation though with the JonBenet Ramsey case, where there wasn't really a plausible explanation outside of the family.
Yeah,
right. It's very similar to the JonBenet Ramsey case, but the problem with that was that they had so little. There was actually evidence of an intruder.
Yes.
But the evidence was faked, or that's what's
and
alleged.
Then and then they say that the faked evidence was reason to think that. But suspects. Here's the thing about the Casey Anthony trial is that one their evidence that they had was that she was chloroformed and then smothered with duct tape.
Right.
That's what they said.
Sure.
And apparently she went on the internet in order to try to figure out how to make chloroform.
Yes.
There is no way that idiot, that hot body contestant, suddenly turns into Walter White, and now she can brew chloroform out of household materials.
It is a dumb theory set by the prosecution about, like, do you really need to chloroform a fucking two-year-old? How much fighting back is going to happen?
It's stupid.
You know what I mean?
The,
yeah.
The fact that they even brought that in put a lot of suspicion into the jury. So now you're saying that because they could never prove that. They said
ultimately, though, if you sat in an empty room and they put the evidence in front of you, I think we can all agree that the mom did it. I mean, come on. Let's to look somebody in the eye and say, I think the mom did it. I think we can all agree on that.
But
and
just saying that, okay, but even with Clue, the game Clue, you have to Colonel Mustard with the wrench in the study.
But no. Maybe it doesn't reach the standard of first degree capital murder and all that. But it could.
But they tried for
manslaughter.
That.
But there was a manslaughter charge that she was also acquitted of.
I think that I think so.
Which has a much lower threshold.
But I agree with that. But I think that they probably should have gone with what would be reckless endangerment of a child because she didn't know where the kid was.
Right, the baby died in your care.
Yeah.
Therefore.
But they could. They
of unnatural causes.
They couldn't tie any of her. There was no evidence that tied her to the remains.
Yeah, I mean, if you want a piece of advice coming out of this, if you're going to kill your kid, just hide them real well.
Yeah,
and for a long time.
That's true. Yeah,
and you'll probably walk. I mean,
or blame it on a black.
Well,
like,
she
that
did.
Crazy
Susan
chick that drove
Smith got
into
caught.
The lake.
Corey,
she got caught. Yeah,
she went to jail.
See,
I have such distaste for these kind of trial stories and cases. I don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm blissfully ignorant of the details in the Casey Anthony case.
Yeah.
I will say that if she's getting out, it's time served. She did perform a community service, essentially.
it was very entertaining.
She basically deprived the future of another miserable, worthless little shithead like herself.
All right. Well, right? Come on.
Because
it's a 2-year-old kid.
No. What she
But isn't it true that she didn't know who the father of the child was even?
No.
Yeah.
No, she was a total cum dumpster.
Yeah. All she did was she gave in 20 years the manager at Bingo's Topless Club in Coral Gables, Florida.
Oh yeah,
one less shift on a pole. That's all she did.
Well,
you know what
Kaylee
was
here.
Gonna be.
Don't attack the victim,
right?
Please,
right? That's what she was gonna be.
Eric, by the way, we're going to send this in as the demo. If you think, what is it, the unskimmed?
This is the unskimmed thing we're sending in.
I'm saying a future.
You wonder why we tape them in advance.
A future Hooters manager is going to go, who's working at 6:30? I don't know, because there's going to be no Kaylee Anthony. It's not like on Star Trek where they go back in time and they're like, we can't disrupt the time patterns because this will throw the entire universe out of alignment, and then they got to let Joan Collins die because she was going to become this figure that changed
Dallas.
The war, right?
Yes.
No, Kaylee Anthony, what she would have changed is, I don't know, about 75 guys in the Miami area weren't going to get blowjobs in the future.
Right.
All
right.
That's all that mattered. That's the only thing that it changed in this bitch being killed.
Enough. What?
And we can also look forward to the Barbara
by
Walters.
You can see me doing this material at the Go Comedy Stand Up and Go.
I don't think anyone's going to see you doing this at Stand Up and Go.
And I will say that at least we can now have the Barbara Walters interview so we can find out what Kaylee did to deserve it.
Yeah, well, I mean, hating your kid, I get, you know.
That's worse than what I said.
I get. But that's what the juror said. What's the motive?
That's worse than me.
What's the motive? Well, of course the motive is. Your kid wouldn't shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they just couldn't tie it to him. And I think that's the reason why they
have I disagree with this verdict. I think it's obvious. I mean, that the fact that she lied about the kid's whereabouts, that shows consciousness of guilt. I mean, come on. It's not there's not a high threshold to get a
unskimmed to Raw Dog Comedy. When is this going?
I think you're right. I think she's absolutely guilty, but they didn't prove
Covino
it.
Covino and Rich. Are you kidding me?
Okay. Covino are you rich? What?
Covino, they're on Sirius.
Oh, they are? I have never heard of them.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's why you've never heard of them.
Oh, okay.
You know why? This is their show. Dead fucking air.
Well, I understand that Sirius does not pay very well unless your name's Howard Stern.
Guess what? Guess what? Stand up and go with the Go Improv. Doesn't pay very well.
Yeah, really. JoelRadio.net ain't really pulling in the big bucks either. But
As Joel once famously said, I know how to not make money on
And that's what I told people about. Because guys, you know, guys will send us, you know, guys will find the podcast and they'll go, hey, I'm running this low watt AM station and I was wondering if I could use your show on weekend nights. And it's like, and, you know, I can't pay you anything. And I would write guys back saying, we know how to not make money. Thank you very much. You know, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I feel like
there was that for a little bit when podcasting first started. There were like people that thought, hey, this will be a format.
Yeah, it'll be podcasting format.
We'll just basically, we'll farm out free labor.
User-generated content.
Yeah, the radio companies love that. Ooh, free stuff. Let's take it.
All media companies need to learn an important lesson. Not paying for content, not paying for good quality content, doesn't make you any money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Saving money by firing people, cutting to the bone. These newspapers are killing themselves by firing anybody who writes worth a crap. And it's the truth.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, how come we're not getting hits anymore? Because you fired everybody who could write.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or at radio stations, you fired the talent. You didn't want to pay the fee. Guess what? You don't make money without spending money. I just read that ESPN book.
Yeah.
And those douchebags over there succeeded by basically their format was like, we don't want any talent working on it.
They want people, but they want the brand to be above the talent.
And
ESPN, they want it to be a consistent thing where
I think they finally
whoever's there doing it is going to do the same job.
They finally achieved that, but it took them 20 years of talent building the brand.
And I think the talent there actually does make good money because when they had to go, what happened was, and you probably haven't even gotten this point in the book, when they had to go out and hire a guy like Bill Simmons, who had his own, who was a guy who was basically made a blog, and they ended up having to hire this guy because he was so popular, he ended up holding him up for money. Because they, you know, what happened was he could play other people off of them. So ESPN's thing about trying to be lean and mean was really something that's a little bit out of date now. But they do have to compete with other channels for content.
Yeah, but
and
if
talent.
You look at the guys who do SportsCenter now, not to get into whole ESPN jank, I'm 400 pages into this giant.
It's a giant.
Have you seen this book?
Yeah. It's right there. I finished the fucking thing.
Yeah.
But it's 675
it's a behemoth,
pages.
But you know, all these guys like Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann and Chris Berman and, you know, all these guys that were stars that you remember from ESPN, the management hated because they wanted sort of a faceless, they were like, well, we made Berman a star and we've been paying for it ever since.
Yeah.
And this is an important message to anybody in entertainment field on either side. Talent, continue to do what you do because you are why there's a media company to begin with.
Yes.
Managers, go suck a tailpipe. You are all feckless, useless hacks. All of
you. But the problem, here's the problem with that, though. If management follows your lead, they get fired. And so, you know, that's the problem with it.
Mel Karmazin, I mean, there's a guy that really, I mean, he basically was made by Howard Stern, and he's the president of Sirius. And that's the reason why
But
now Howard's suing him because he didn't want to cough up the stock price.
Yeah, there's that.
But the thing is, like, when management, you know, when their orders are to cut the budget, that's how they do it.
Yes.
That's really the only way to do it that point.
And also,
I'm just saying, this is the problem in all of entertainment, on every level of entertainment.
Well, I think to me, it's a readjustment period where there will be different revenue streams for people that are talented, and audiences will go to different places to get the content that they want. I don't feel like people are like, oh, I'm bereft of reading good media insight, or you know what I mean, commentary.
No, it's
there's
just
more
that,
of that than there's ever been.
No, but
and there's more outlets for it.
What happened is that the media companies hurt themselves by firing the people that were expensive.
I understand.
And
that.
So it's the media. I'm saying the media companies.
But don't they deserve to be hurt? Do we care that the media? I mean, do we care about these media companies?
What the problem is that then that writer has to go out and make the money on his own.
Okay, that's fine.
He's never going to have he's never going to have quite the same access.
Well,
the same channels of distribution, the same ability to create capital.
Yes.
Although there are
occasional
circumstances.
But you know what, for me, I can't cry for those people because I'm on the outside looking in at this point. And for me, if it levels the playing field with what I'm doing which, versus somebody else doing a podcast or a website or something, that doesn't really bother me. That I'm okay with that.
All that shit's all who you know. I mean,
exactly.
That's all that is.
You know what I mean? And I think when you see people like Bill Simmons getting hired out of websites and podcasters getting jobs and stuff, I mean, that to me opens – I mean, there's just the other way of looking at it. You know what I mean? Am I going to cry for some 60-year-old guy losing his, you know,
his newspaper column? No, but what happens, though, is that when they fire that guy for a good rate, they then hire a younger guy for less money.
Mm-hmm.
And
well
– You're pretending to not care about something that you have personally complained about in comedy.
Well, it depends. There's multiple ways of looking at it.
In stand-up comedy, okay, you and I are now guys that
But stand-up comedy is different. It's not the media.
No, but...
Stand-up comedy is entertainment in a different form.
It's show business. It's not that different.
It's a business.
In that, okay, you and I are now guys who work professionally and do get paid to make some money doing comedy. But we always complain that there will be some schnook behind us who will take less money.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so the gigs get worse.
I understand.
The money gets worse.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
The money goes down. So I think we need to start as creative people. Mm-hmm. We're always pitted against each other.
Yeah.
And we always fight. Much like I just fought with some guy who's not worth even talking about. And I yelled at him for 5 minutes.
Are you coming down on that now?
Am I coming down on
it?
No, he still blows.
Oh, okay.
I'm not. He'll never not blow. There's never going to be a time when he stops blowing. But.
A positive in women. No, go ahead.
Well, when he's in the joint for getting picked up for coke.
Keep blowing.
Yeah. All right. Look, when they knock his front teeth out. Anyway, what I'm saying is I think we all need to look at it it'll never happen.
No, because it's always going to be competitive.
But comics, radio entertainers, television personalities are probably... have a collective better interest that they never talk about, discuss, unionize, think about.
Yeah.
And they could all pool talent and make things better.
Yeah. And the thing is that there is a union. I mean, I don't know if you guys.
Well, there's SAG and AFTRA.
But I mean, think about how many times that's the easiest to break union ever because you're dealing with people that want to do it. So they will constantly cross the line. That happens all the time.
But this is an endless story.
I think that you're right.
Corey would like to close the doors to anyone getting into show business at all.
Well, no, I think that it
thinks that there's enough people doing it.
I'm just saying they're gonna keep lowering the bar till there's nothing left.
Well, no, the guys that are really fucking up though, when it comes to what you're talking about, is the guys that are actually because there are certain sometimes talent gets really powerful. And management hates that.
Yeah.
They obviously, as soon as somebody becomes bigger than, like ESPN, if somebody became bigger than ESPN, mm-hmm. then that's bad news for management. And I've worked at radio stations that have had that happen where the personalities are all of a sudden running the show. Who the people that are failing is the talent that doesn't help everybody else once they get power.
Sure.
And they only think about themselves. That is where you really get fucked.
And we can see a couple examples of that right here in town. I mean, you know, you know what I'm saying.
Listen,
I'm not
going
to name names, but...
Flamethrower.
I think that there is a difference...
You know who they are.
There is a difference, I think, between things like newspapers and sort of television stations and, you know, stand-up comedy or podcasting.
Yeah, they're not... Every business isn't exactly the same, but right. I think in the general, larger sense of it, if you're providing creative content, there is a similarity.
There's a hierarchy for all of those things. Yeah. I mean, there's always a hierarchy. It's no matter what you do, mm-hmm. you know, everything's okay. Hierarchy.
Enough doom and gloom.
All right, back to Casey Anthony.
No, not back to Casey Anthony.
What's the other things? I know that there was a list of things written down.
There's a list of things. I mean, some of it is we've already covered, but I mean, do you want to get into Charlie Sheen appearing at the Gathering of the Juggalos?
Let's do that.
Because I don't know, Charlie Sheen.
Winning
is appearing
yeah.
at the Gathering of the Juggalos in a couple weeks, which I will force him at, as I always
How did they get him?
Well, apparently,
he was available.
It's funny it's funny because Charlie Sheen, you would have thought, wouldn't have been available because his price would have been too high, but apparently he wants to do it.
You mean his stock has dropped?
Well, his stock has dropped, but it's still.
Oh, look, you know what the best part about Charlie Sheen is? They're killing him off on 2.5 Men.
Yeah, they are.
They literally are writing in that he drove his car off a cliff in the show, and they're going to keep rolling right along with Ashton Kutcher.
But, you know, I mean, a lot of people are asking me, well, what do I think of Charlie Sheen appearing at the Gathering? Because I don't know, first of all, if I'm going to have any direct or indirect contact with Charlie there.
Sure.
Because I don't know where he's going to be. Sometimes these guys come in and they, you know, like a lot of these rappers will come in and they'll, like, do their show and they go home. You know, they get back
on
the bus.
You
and they
tend to work with the comedy people.
Yeah, but I don't know. He may be doing a set in the comedy tent, which means he would be working.
He is a comedian.
Well, oh boy. I think as he showed on his My Violent Torpedo of Death, Truth is Not, Death is Not an Option, or whatever that fucking tour was.
Yeah.
When he came to the Fox Theater in Detroit, he had a harsh reception. So. And I don't know. He may get that same reception at the gathering. I don't know what he's going to do.
He may
just come out and introduce Insane Clown Posse, and that might be it.
I'm thinking it could be a powder keg.
It could be. I don't know. My feeling is that so many people are going to want to see him or meet him or have something signed by him that if he's not available, it's going to be ugly.
Oh yeah.
So
and he won't be available.
Yeah, I'm thinking he probably won't, but you never know.
You think he'll turn down
Gallagher? Was freely available. Gallagher came to the gathering and had no problem sharing his weed and whatever.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And holding day trade. Gallagher's a weird guy. But
no,
you know,
kidding.
Gallagher hung out all day and partied with people and had a great time.
You got Gallagher's number? Why don't you call him?
I don't have Gallagher's number. Ron Jeremy hung out with him.
I've got Gilbert Gottfried and Brian Posehn's number.
All right, let's go.
Nice.
Let's do it right now. No, but I think I don't know what's going to happen with Charlie Sheen. I'm really, like, to be honest with you, like, it might be better if he just didn't come, just because it might be a huge distraction from everything else, all the people that are there.
From the seriousness of this insane
club. Well, not seriousness, but, you know, for...
Well, is that going to... You think that's going to attract more media than normally?
Oh, I think it's going to attract a shitload of media.
Yeah.
And I think having media there is actually bad in a lot of
ways. Aren't those TMZ kind of guys?
That's the problem
there?
With it, is it's the TMZ kind of guys who didn't show up last year for Tila Tequila, and they had to sort of...
Get cell phone,
and then they picked over this guy from the Village Voice. I'm guessing this guy bought a fucking boat with all the money he made selling his tequila photos. And it's funny, because I was the guy squiring him around.
Yeah.
And I could have whipped out my digital camera and probably sold all these pictures of bloody tequila because I was standing right next to the fucking guy. But this guy, Igor, must have made a fortune selling his pictures to every outlet.
Igor.
Yeah, this guy, Igor. Nice guy, Igor. But this guy, Igor.
Igor
sold his photos.
Where's the mouth? Where's the mouth foreign chink slut? Where is she, master?
I feel like it would be...
Does she have her tits out?
Those tits aren't human. They're alive.
It may be a...
They're a monster, I tell you.
Thank you for joining us, Corey. More Corey next week on Joel Radio.
He was falling asleep up until then.
But my feeling is it might be a conflict of interest for me to sell photos,
yes,
and make money at a gig that I'm already being paid for.
But isn't it a good thing to have publicity? It's a good idea to have
There's no such thing as bad publicity.
Yeah.
It makes people want to go. Probably Charlie Sheen wants to come because he heard about it from shit that happened in the previous years. So.
Or needs money.
Or needs money, and I think
badly.
That's why he,
oh, my God.
Brian Posehn, who you mentioned, is appearing.
Yeah, Brian's going to be on the show.
And Brian was on Joe Rogan's podcast, and he said that his fans, he got a lot of angry, you know, Twitter things, because people thought he was going to the gathering, and why was he doing it? And he says, well, he says, look, I have a kid that's starting daycare. So, you know? My kid is starting preschool, and I'm getting a nice check.
Right. So his heart's in it. That's always good.
You know, but
what a nice guy Brian Posehn. I had a nice talk.
You had a nice conversation with Brian?
Yeah.
Good.
We went long.
Good.
I got way more than I needed for the interview. But, well, we just started talking about, you know, nerdy stuff.
Sure.
Mm.
But cool. He's
anyway.
A good guy. He's coming to Detroit.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go this weekend to see him, and then
keep that out.
Yeah. So.
Cool.
Okay.
Who else is on that comedy lineup?
We have Brian Posehn. He's appearing with Harlan Williams.
Oh,
that'll
wow.
be one
wow.
night. And Harlan was in ICP's
you
first
met
movie.
Harlan recently, right?
Big Money Hustlers. Yeah, I opened for Harlan at the Comedy Castle, and in fact, our booking agent from Psychopathic Records, George, came over, and I said, hey, I'm working with Harlan, because he was trying to book him already.
Yeah.
He said, well, he's in town. I'm opening for him. Let's sit him down. And we sat him down in the Comedy Castle green room and told him what was up, and he agreed to come do it.
Hey,
so.
By the way, guys, please go over to the commerce section of JoelRadio.com, because we're now selling shovels to pick up all the names we dropped.
No.
And you can get the special
I dropped George
Radio commemorative shovel.
That was the one that pushed it over the edge. That pushed it over the edge.
No, I just realized I'm sitting here talking about
Brian
Posehn.
Yeah,
I know, I did
names.
It too.
So, Brian, you asked me who's fucking appearing.
I know famous
this is
people that
appearing.
Makes me famous.
It's appearing.
Joel's just beside himself with anger.
I've done many Joel radios with no one else in the studio.
Go right ahead with that.
Those are fine shows.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they
fine
were.
Fine shows.
Uh-huh. And all the phone calls I got about him clearly indicated that to be
quality shows.
All the private phone calls I got regarding those shows.
I can't get
it. Smart. It's still funny.
Eric's like, what am I doing in here?
Still 30 or 40 voicemails from that day.
Oh, my God. Look. All right, who
you
else
asked me a goddamn question, and then I can't give you an answer, and saying that I'm full of shit because I'm
heaven forbid I make a joke. All right, who's on the?
Let's calm down the tomfoolery.
when I plug the next night of comedy, you're just gonna fucking lose your fucking shit.
Who's
let me explain the next night in the comedy tent.
All right, who's on the comedy tent?
Woohoo!
We're doing the stars of professional wrestling do stand up.
Oh,
so.
Oh my God! Get your tickets
exactly.
now! Holy shit!
So we're gonna have the legendary Mankind Mick Foley, Rowdy Roddy Piper will be appearing.
Good. Sure.
King Kong Bundy will be telling jokes.
He's gonna eat the microphone.
King Kong Bundy will be.
I was
telling
trying
jokes.
To keep it together, and then he said King Kong Bundy.
What about we have some the Iron Sheik will be appearing.
Oh God! Listen. Shut up, faggots. Listen to me. I punch you in the face. Hey, what's up with the Chi-Chis? I go over to the Chi-Chis. It's not there anymore.
What are you?
Iron Sheik's doing comedy.
Who? Iron? Does he talk
about? Hey, listen. You ever get those saltwood egg rolls and chilies? Those are my favorite. But they're so hot, I burn my tongue.
Why no one
what's
laughing?
What's the deal with that? What's it? Hey, is this thing on? Fuck you! Fuck you! I fucking break your back and fuck you in the ass!
Okay.
But you, put
about,
your camel clutch!
The comedy stylings of Raven, who
Raven.
Is one of the funniest wrestlers of all time, Raven.
Really, that wasn't the end?
And no, there's more.
That wasn't the end. Is it, who else is on the
Colt
show?
Cabana will be appearing, really? Who's one of the stars of Ring of Honor and very talented guy.
How
Colt
about
Cabana.
Bam Bam Bigelow?
No, he's dead. Oh. He's not coming. But
What about Hacksaw Jim Duggan?
I think he's appearing on the wrestling show, but not the comedy show.
Wow.
There's a wrestling show.
Is he riding
with
a wheelchair?
All kinds of big stars.
Hey, tough guy!
But you know the comedy favorite. Show. So, but that's a good comedy show, and I'll be hosting that.
My favorite wrestling.
I mean,
not
if you,
a good
it's
comedy
not.
Show.
Like, okay, but what I'm saying is it's star power.
Funny.
Star power.
It's a good freak show.
It's a freak show.
Oh I would God, love. Yes. I would love to see these guys.
Yes.
One of my favorite wrestling stories of all time was the night that Hacksaw Jim Duggan and the Iron Sheik got pulled over smoking weed.
Yes.
In a car.
Wow. You'd yeah. never think that.
Where were
happen.
They in like North Carolina?
They were.
Or something?
I think they were New Jersey.
Did he have the 2x4 in the back seat?
Yeah.
He very probably did.
When those two, when Mr. All American, flag waving, beer drinking, truck driving, Mr. Hacksaw Jim Duggan can stand with one of the foes of America from Iran. Iran number one, America.
They can get together over the.
So Sheik will be. I worked with. I did a show with Iron Sheik before. He's crazy.
It's a wacky life you
I
lead.
I like Iron
it?
Sheik.
Really,
what an honor.
Iron Sheik appeared at the previous gathering. The comedy lineup was myself. I'm trying to remember how it all went. Myself, Shuley from the Howard Stern Show, then Beetlejuice from the Howard Stern Show, Iron Sheik, and finally Steve Sabo. It was quite a lineup.
Wow, most of those people are dead.
This is,
No, I'm sorry. That was Steve Brewer and Jason Bensy were on that show.
Steve Sabo. Yeah.
Steve Sabo was appeared on a show with Roddy Piper. I did
unless you live in the Toledo area.
Yeah.
Steve Sabo is pretty much dead.
All right, come on.
Look, watch. Fine. Yeah, like, he's booking you.
He's not. Well, one show in this year. One a calendar year.
One
seems to be,
show
seems to be what
year.
I get from bookers, yes.
What a prick.
Anyway.
Nice.
So that's what's going on at the gathering, and then there's Jimmy J.J. Walker's appearing one night.
Why, what is this?
I don't know!
What is this like?
Juggalos apparently don't have their ear to the ground when it comes to comedy, and so we get
no,
stars
no,
from the
no,
past,
no, no, no.
generally speaking.
That's what it is. It's what it is that Violent J, who is the capo de duty capo,
mm-hmm.
the clown face boss, who runs the whole organization with the iron fist,
mm-hmm.
He basically stopped watching comedy in 1981. Is David Brenner appearing? Did you
David
get,
Brenner is not
no?
appearing.
Did you get...
no.
Phyllis Diller, is she showing up?
No, he's not appearing, but...
How about Waylon Flowers and Madam?
No, it's not appearing.
Just Madam?
But, hey,
just Madam, because
no.
Waylon's dead, right?
Listen, Artie Johnson was booked, and...
The lady with the tags on her hat.
How about...
Minnie Pearl.
It's really... Literally, his comedy booking is like Hollywood Squares 1983 with John right. Davidson.
The guy,
you know what I mean? Jim J. Bullock is going to be here tonight.
Well, the guy who does You Can Call Me Ray. Or
Ladies
you can
and
call
gentlemen.
Me Jay, Ray J. Johnson.
Ray J.
Yeah.
Johnson.
Yeah, Ray J. Johnson's appearing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Lind.
Can I just stop for a moment to explain to the kids? Every day
is there Ray J. Johnson available on YouTube?
Let's go find
all
it.
Right, I'm gonna
every year I feel older and older because these young open micers come up and they look at me like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
And you just go, GoBots. You never heard of GoBots? What is wrong with you? Jason, the Wheeled Warriors? You're not remembering this? And they all look at me like, one night I made a reference to Gary Cooper. And the kids looked at me with these dead-eyed, glassy YouTube stares of like just what you get from looking at a goddamn Farmville game for 14 hours a day.
Okay, so,
right? Gary Cooper.
Yes.
Okay, when you list classic movie stars, classic male film stars, American film stars, it's like Clark Gable, Jimmy Stewart, Gary Cooper. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Everybody in America ought to know those names.
You should have at least seen some Hitchcock movies.
I didn't pull out George Raft out of my ass, right? It wasn't like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm not
going.
I'm not talking about Leslie Howard. It's not like I'm getting up Sidney Greenstreet. I'm not getting obscure on him.
Yeah.
I said Gary goddamn Cooper and these kids who got their thumbs up their asses and they're trying to tell people something on a stage about how funny they are and they don't know dick from Shinola, and Ray J. Johnson is an example of, okay. You could be famous.
Ray J. Johnson's still alive, according to Wikipedia. So,
now look.
Not in our hearts.
Now, Joel did make a compelling case for the diversification of media, the liberation of media into whatever you want it to be, podcasting, blogs, whatever you want to do, however you want to market yourself.
The best I can find is an Anheuser-Busch commercial.
Okay,
do you want to hear this?
Yeah, sure. You can't get a bit.
Yeah, someone paid him for this.
I can't. I don't know. I don't have sound.
Oh, you got to turn this.
Natural light, and he doesn't have to call it Anheuser Natural, and he doesn't have to call it Busch Natural. Just say Natural.
Johnson's right.
Oh, you can call me Ray, or you can call me Jay, or you can
for
call
a great tasting light beer. Just
this was an
natural.
Act. This was a killer act in Johnson. the '70s.
Two naturals, please. Please don't have.
Well, here's
an act that should have ended with a sniper's bullet.
Is this him here?
Hey. Johnson. Oh, you don't have to call me Johnson. My name is Raymond J. Johnson Jr. Now you can call me Ray, or you can call me Jay, or you can call me Johnson.
This was huge.
Or you can call me Sonny, or you can call me Junior, or you can call me Ray J, or you can call me RJ, or you can call me RJ J. Or you can call me RJ.
Okay, you're on after the Iron Sheik.
You have to call me Johnson.
Okay, you know the rant.
Now you can call me King, or you can call me Kong, or you can call me Bundy.
I hear he's actually appearing on Ted Riott's new open mic show.
By the way,
headliner.
You just had that rant about the kids.
Yeah.
Based on that, they're right.
I know. But I'm just saying, this is why this. Please, don't play it again.
Dear God in heaven above.
I think he had to put this on the website because there isn't any, like...
content of him?
Official version of Ray J. Johnson.
Here's the thing.
What a crime.
You could see... This is... I want to tell the kids, between... Now, I wasn't old enough to remember, but I'm guessing from between about 1976 to about 1981, you could turn on your television at any time of the day or night and see that guy... doing the Ray J. Johnson act.
And just laugh and laugh.
And he would go on like
you can call me Ray.
He'd go on game shows and do the bit.
Yeah.
And he was just like, what was funny about that?
Comedian Bill Saluga. Do you want an appearance from...
Yeah, he can't...
Do you want comedian...
And you can't go on What's My Line because it would have to be a complete douchebag.
do you want to see an appearance from the 1982 television show We Dare You?
No, but I imagine you'll play it anyway.
It's 3 minutes. It's 3 minutes.
But this is like... These guys had these weak acts that got on television, like Bill, Jose Jimenez, Dana.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the bar was really low back then.
But you know,
it was almost impossible to get on television.
But
yeah, Ray J. Johnson.
Do you want to see him
was
doing,
a famous guy?
Yes. You want to see him doing the Illinois Lottery, the Illinois Lottery's daily game commercial?
Please,
from 19
was
whatever.
Was this Ray J?
Well, it's called Bill Saluga. That's his actual.
The Illinois Lottery daily game in more ways than one. The straight bet. If you has $1 on the winning number, you win $500. But he doesn't have to stop there. Put $1 on two digits and you can win 50.
He's yep, folks, same act.
But he doesn't have to stop there. There are 9 ways
it's
to play the daily game.
It's the same stupid act.
Same act.
What?
Are you?
It's fun to win the daily game.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt the genius there.
It's a guy in a hat and a mustache.
Well, he's doing like a fast talking like New York street character.
How did you get that out of
it? You know what?
No, I mean, that's what he's trying to do.
As soon as you explained it, now it's funny.
But I mean, it's you know, he's like a double talking.
Oh, my God.
Mm. Yeah.
Is that what he is?
I don't know.
He's kind of single talking, if you ask me. But this was on television constantly when I was a child.
But, you know, I think, going back to your thing, I think you're right. I think it's too bad that kids don't actually pay attention to, like, the old shit. I mean, nobody watches old movies anymore.
Well,
right?
Because now...
I'm just saying, when you get older, you're trapped in a prison of your own life. And, like, you have to find guys your own age to go, hey, Ray J. Johnson, because now I used to remember, like, I knew stuff that happened before I was born, because I'm a freak.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, people could make references to Abbott and Costello stuff, and I knew it because it was on TV all the time.
But, Joe...
That's gone now.
You've done that. You go back and watch old movies. Like, you've seen stuff from the 30s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So why doesn't anybody else... Why are they remaking these things?
No one pays attention.
I think the problem is that, you know, there's... People will watch something new just because it's new.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's... I mean, if you look at... And so much of what drives the industry is new stuff.
Yeah.
When you go to Target, what movies are for sale? They're the ones that came out probably most recently. If you try to find an old movie there, they might have The Wizard of Oz or something, but would they have, you know, even a popular movie, would they have, on the waterfront available for sale at Target?
Right.
Probably not.
I think in a weird way, I think media consumption has accelerated... And it's now this hungry giant dragon that's got to be fed at all times.
Well, I mean,
and
again,
has to consume things. So I think back in the old, not to be like back in my day, but we would sit there and watch the same Little Rascals fucking shorts over and over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they would rerun them every Saturday with the same stupid music and the same Looney Tunes cartoons. Mm-hmm. And you would watch them over and over and over again. And I think that is less likely these days. And that's why kids don't get inundated in the same kind of
there was
because they got to have something new.
The media was smaller years ago. You know, when we were kids, but the media was smaller.
The need for something
pretty
new
much had three channels to watch.
And you still had to fill the day.
And you know, and there would be new things that were on those channels back then, but they would only be, you know, an hour or 2 hours a day, and the rest would be repeats. You know, which is now there are cable channels where everything's a repeat.
There's websites.
I mean, there's things like that, but
there's websites you can read the whole page. Then hit refresh, and there'll be a whole bunch of new stuff up.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how these people are making money, and I hope that the people who are writing this stuff get paid money.
Yeah.
But that's how blogs make money, is that they have this constant churn of content.
What I'm saying
is... And they get people coming, and then they have their ads on their site, and then people click on the ads, and it's all... You know, it's a big machine.
Clearly, we were more easily amused back then.
Yeah, I think so, but I don't know that that's... I don't know that that isn't entertaining in its own way, though.
Right.
But do you,
what we're doing now?
But I know I'll sound like an old fogey, but doesn't every can we all agree that all the old movies are better? I mean, even like the 70s.
I don't
stuff
know about
awesome.
All the old movies.
Yeah, not all the
most
old
of
movies.
Them.
I mean,
the
old movies.
Awesome.
The old movies that there are movies that they made that ran in a theater that those prints were like burned or never preserved. You know, there's movies that will never ever be seen again.
Yeah.
So when we think about, you know, the 40s and every movie was great, that's really not true. There's just movies
and
that
then,
we don't see anymore for a reason.
There's some, I don't know the statistic offhand, but I should, because as a film critic, I should manage out, but there's like,
yes.
I think there's probably only like 35% of the films that existed pre-1950 we actually exist.
Yeah, they actually.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like most of it was
because a lot of the film that they used the negatives in that would decay.
Okay,
and so they're technologically they're gone. But there's a lot of them that there's just no market for them. No one would want to watch them.
Okay, by the way, people talk about like sequels. Like, oh, it's terrible. They make all these sequels. Yeah. But back then, they'd make series. You know how many Thin Man movies there were?
There was Blondie movies.
Blackie.
The Egg and I, and there'd be 50 of those.
Right. What was a Blackie the detective? You know. There'd be these detective movies, and before TV, they'd just grind out episodes, basically, and there'd be like, The Falcon Strikes Again.
Sure.
And The Falcon was a guy in a trench coat and a hat, like every other character, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
That's all you needed, by the way, to be a detective or a mystery man, was a fedora.
That's a good point.
You know, right? But they would do that stuff, so... There was plenty of garbage back then.
So I guess, you know, for me thinking that everything's a Third Man.
But when they do remake movies, there's always a sensation like, well, it's new, then therefore it must be better.
Yeah.
Which is not the case. And if you're going to remake a movie, for the love of God, can you remake a good one?
Well, it's funny. When the people do remake it, if you remake a movie and it's good and it finds its contemporary audience, a lot of times people don't even care about the old movie anymore. That it's just people know what's new.
Here's a
and
case,
the old one they don't even care about.
Here's a case from 2011 of a pointless remake, Arthur.
Okay, yeah, Arthur.
The new Arthur was a shit stinking pile of stunky, funky.
I heard it was bad.
It was terrible. Yeah.
Terrible. Lame.
I saw it as well.
The old Arthur, still funny.
The old Arthur's still funny, yeah.
I'm not the biggest Arthur fan in the world.
Right.
But if you stood those two movies next to each other,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to watch the Dudley Moore one every day.
Absolutely,
on Sunday.
Yeah.
And it's not like 1981 is like the 40s.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like it's so far out of the reality.
Uh-huh. Now, was it softer? Because really Arthur was a pretty reprehensible character.
Yeah, I think back in those days you could really be a drunk and it was funny.
Yeah, and it was okay to be a drunk.
This is kind of cutesy. Russell
they make
Brand.
Him go to rehab.
He's being cheeky. Right. They didn't make Arthur go to rehab.
Yeah.
He just sobered up because it'd be...
They didn't have him driving while drunk.
The movie didn't fail for that reason. The movie just failed because the story didn't work and it wasn't funny. I mean, that's really... I mean, it could have worked.
It was Russell Brand being cutesy and it didn't work.
And Russell
anybody.
Brand's okay, but, you know, Dudley Moore is Arthur. You know what I mean? Well, you can't really separate those two.
Can't unring
Dudley,
that bell.
Dudley Moore played off people.
Yes.
Russell Brand did his act, and then everybody else stood around and went, "Aren't you cute, Arthur?
Yeah, right.
Aren't you delightful?"
Well, what was the best movie this year, then? I don't know.
It's the best movie this year? Joel's got an idea.
Well, I have listed on joelthecomic.com my top movies of 2011 so far.
Have you?
My midway point. Should I ruin it? It's a spoiler.
Boy, you know, I was
No one will come to joelthecomic.com if
you know, I was gonna
give
that.
Away the answer.
I was going to do that article and haven't gotten around to it
yet. Okay, do you want to know my top five?
Go ahead. Fire it away.
I think, why don't I pull up the website?
Just ladies and gentlemen, I've just performed a seg.
Well, you know what? You could call me Eric, or you could call me Thomas. You could call me Tommy. But you don't have to call me Eric, and you don't have to call me Tommy. And you could call me Tommy, and you could call me Ray J. And you could call me Jay. And you
you're
can call
taking
me...
the momentum.
What the hell was that a joke? How was that a joke that he did on every show on television?
Okay, do you want my number
for
five?
Today's show. Well, you can call me Ray.
This is my number five movie of the year, Source Code.
I liked that movie.
Good science fiction movie, Twilight Zone-esque.
Okay.
Do you like
that
one?
Director.
Yeah, Source Code was pretty good.
I also wrote on my review, it says, it puts stand-up comedy in a great light, which you have to see the movie to understand why. I don't. It's a spoiler if I were to say, but there is a stand-up comedian that's in the movie.
Okay. I don't remember.
Like, his character is a stand-up.
What happens is they go back in time and they kill Ted Riott.
They kill Ray J. Johnson. And
they do. They go back in 1973 and they shoot Ray J. Johnson.
And the sun comes out on a cloudy day as soon as that happens. Everybody just walks out and they're all better now.
The unknown comic takes the bag off and goes, I can live free again!
X-Men First Class, I had him number four.
Wow.
All right. See that.
Number three, which, you know, I think we talked about that on the last show. I liked X-Men First Class a lot. Hannah was my number three movie. Did you see Hannah?
I didn't. I never saw
Hannah. Really good. It was, it's funny, and I wrote in my review here, I said, you know, everyone made a big deal about how Daft Punk did Tron Legacy, and I saw Tron Legacy, and it wasn't good, and even the score, the Daft Punk thing wasn't very good. Chemical Brothers did the score for this Hannah, and it's fantastic.
Yeah,
and it's a very kinetic. It really moves. It almost feels like one of the Bourne movies, but with a little girl.
Was it There Will Be Blood esque? Where
no,
kind of like okay,
no, it's right. A little girl. It's a little girl running around.
No. I mean the soundtrack.
I don't know There Will Be Blood soundtrack
because it was like that. It was kind of eclectic.
Yeah, it was, but it's just
no.
An action
I don't think
movie.
It was like
it's
that
an action
soundtrack.
Movie.
Okay,
Hannah, you got to see Hannah. It's really good.
Insane.
Super 8 was my number two movie.
Okay.
We talked about that recently on the show. Hmm. And my top movie of the year is Win-Win with Paul Giamatti. That is, I thought, the best movie of 2000. I've seen way less movies than you have. So by the end of the year, I will have seen a lot of stuff on DVD.
Well, I have not written that article yet. Win-Win might crack that list.
Yeah, Win-Win's real good.
That was good.
Super 8's real good. Come on.
I like stuff that nobody's seen.
Yeah, okay.
Conan O'Brien Can't Stop.
Okay, I haven't
tremendous.
Seen that yet. Yeah.
Submarine. Sorry.
I didn't think Submarine was that good. I saw it. It didn't make my top
I liked Submarine a lot.
It was good, but, you know.
I've seen there's been some good stuff lately. It seems like there's been good pictures. They're out there, but I'd have to really think
about
it.
You have to really think, because I couldn't think, and then I said,
the problem is I'll see a movie that literally no one in America
exactly,
will see,
yes.
Like Meek's Crossing.
Right.
And Meek's Cutoff.
Yeah.
And I loved that movie, and no one on earth will see it.
Well, I think last year, I forget what my best picture of the year was last year, but it was... Might have been Exit Through the Gift Shop or whatever it was. It was one or two, and it's like, people didn't see that until it hit video.
Exit Through the Gift Shop was great.
Yeah. I really hated the King's Speech. I was really pissed
really?
Off.
Really, I still haven't seen it.
So. I didn't like it at all.
I didn't hate it, but I think I liked other stuff better.
Of the 10 Best Picture nominees, it was the worst. It
wasn't my favorite.
I liked Winner's Bone more than I liked that.
Winner's Bone was horrible.
The problem was
Winner's Bone.
Winner's Bone.
Oh.
Winter's Bone is not a movie I want to watch.
Winter's Bone is a movie that no one will ever watch. That's my feeling. Like, it's one of those movies that everyone went crazy in Oscar season. People went out and saw it. No one will want to watch. Like, would you? If I was working at like a Blockbuster and somebody brought Winter's Bone up, I'd be like, just take this back. You don't want to watch this.
I lived in Flint for a lot of years. It's not that depressing to me.
Yeah, Winter's Bone was just
nothing can really be depressing.
I'm not saying Winter's Bone is like a bad movie in a strict, you know, grading it in its artistic merit, but well, it's not fun.
There are movies that are good that you will never want to watch again, and that is Winter's Bone. Yeah. There was a Polish film called what was it, like 3 days, 26 hours? Anyway, it was about a girl in the mid-80s in Poland who tried to get an abortion.
Nice.
And she had to get like a back alley abortion because it was illegal under the communist system, and her friend had to like cover for her and get that right. And it's this really amazing, compelling, brilliantly made, incredible film that you'll never want to watch again in your life.
Is the poster a hanger?
Yeah, exactly. Right? Okay. You know what I mean?
Hey.
And you sit there and go, well, that sounds interesting. Do I want to watch it? No. And that's, I think, the category for Winter's Bone, where you just go, no, I don't want to see it. But Jennifer Lawrence is turning out to be a little star. So
it's not a bad movie. I'm not saying that. Just, there's no reason to watch it. Even if you haven't seen it, still don't watch it. I mean, take my advice.
I thought that we have a Blue Valentine.
Blue Valentine's another one. It's tremendous, but you never want to watch
it again.
I never saw that either.
Oh, you want to kill yourself after
you
that
really
one.
Do feel like garbage, but it's a great film.
It's exactly, you never want to speak to another woman ever again.
I definitely don't want to watch that.
Because what happens is that you're watching it and you're like, that's what relationships are. They always start out great and it just turns to shit no matter what happens.
Inside the mind of Eric Thomas.
And the fights are so real and the arguments are so real that you really have a visceral reaction to it because you've had that conversation with some bitch who wouldn't listen.
It is absolutely true. It is really a good, you know. Yeah. But you don't ever want to watch it again.
Yeah.
You know what's great that's out right now in theaters in Detroit and probably around, you can find it probably on demand someplace.
What's that?
The Trip.
The Trip.
With Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon.
Yeah, okay.
That's terrific.
All right.
Really funny. It's basically, it's two comics on the road together trying to outdo each other doing bits.
Oh, wow.
And they kind of drive each other crazy, you know, and they sit there and do dueling impressions like Joel and I will do sometimes. And you're like, no, you're Jay Leno. It's terrible. Let me do Jay Leno.
Come on now. Hey.
Right, right.
Coming up after that, we got headlines.
Anyway.
It was in the paper.
There he goes.
Did you see Buried?
Buried.
I saw Buried, yeah.
Flirting.
Yeah. Buried, again, Buried's like a good Twilight Zone episode. Didn't feature film, not so great.
Hey,
but
I don't know if it's going to make my top five list or 10 for the first half of the year, but Cedar Rapids was good.
Cedar Rapids was good. I think I gave that like an honorable mention. Yeah,
That was a really good one. Yeah. You know, I will go months and months without giving an A out.
Yeah, okay.
And then suddenly I've been giving out A's.
Yeah, Cedar Rapids was good.
Just throwing them down.
There's been some, So
I just did. I whipped together. It's on, you know. It's on.
But the Conan O'Brien movie's outstanding.
Yeah, if I see that, then yeah, that'll be a contender. Because I figured, why not make a top five list now before I can remember half a year's worth of
movies.
No,
you might as well. And I'm going to have to, you know what I have to do really is write down the worst.
Yeah.
Because when I have to do at the end of the year list, the worst are kind of harder to do because they all happen in February.
Yeah.
And then you have to go back and go, that was truly garbage.
But jumping the broom and all that shit.
Jumping the broom was, jumping the broom wasn't that bad.
Wasn't as bad as some of the, Arthur's got to be on that.
Arthur was terrible. The real stuff is like When in Rome.
Okay.
That's when you get real.
Sure.
You know what I mean? You get into the real nitty gritty of shitty.
Yeah, I mean,
what was that movie again? I don't remember When in Rome.
Here's what's on my top 10 worst list. Something Borrowed.
Okay.
That'll be on my top worst list.
Right.
Those romantic comedies?
Yo, those are all terrible.
I'm trying to think what I've seen that was terrible. I'm pretty critical about, like, I'll know what's good before I go, generally speaking.
Yeah.
Pirates 4 was terrible. Mm,
I was so bummed out.
I mean, I saw that at the drive-in as a double feed with X-Men,
I'm bummed out. I went up north for the 4th of July.
Oh, okay.
Went up to the Traverse area.
Okay.
And there's the Cherry Bowl drive-in up there.
Okay, did you go?
And no, because they were showing Cars 2 and Pirates 4.
And you saw them both.
And I was like,
it was a one-screen job. Yeah.
Even if they'd shown, like, X-Men, Amy hadn't seen.
Yeah.
Or something, you know what I mean?
No, I love going to the drive-in. It's fun.
Or Super 8. Yeah. I would have sat through Super 8 again. And Super 8 was really good. I liked that.
Yeah, Super 8 was really good.
But, yeah, I sat there and went, Cars 2. Cars 2 was brutal. Just awful.
It wasn't good.
It was terrible.
It's a Larry the Cable Guy sketch.
Ah. Do you usually like the Pixar movies?
Yeah, I mean, generally, this is the first outright terrible Pixar movie. It's really a it's a cartoon. It's a toy commercial. And it's, you know what? Dog for like, you know, 90 minutes. You can't take that crap.
Yeah, that sounds horrible.
He can't even take that crap. I saw a biography about Larry the Cable.
Oh, that must have been great.
And that was, speaking of Ray J. Johnson, that's a bit just...
He might be, yeah.
Do you think he's merged? I think he's merged as a person.
No.
Really?
And you got to see it. That's why I watched it, because in the biography, he's like, well, you know, I started doing the character about 1988, you know. And he's just like, well, you know, he's sitting there with the sleeveless,
right,
you know, denim shirt and the stupid, you know, bait trap hat or, you know, the gun.
Well, he would fail if he tried to not be that and do something else.
Well, if you see the footage of him as Dan Whitney, he was a hack then.
Right, I remember, he was on... The Evening at the Improv with Rosie O'Donnell that the VH1.
He was your typical brick wall, mullet-headed '80s hack comic.
I interviewed him once, and he couldn't have been a nicer guy. Yeah. He was so cool.
But I mean, you know what I'm saying? I think for him, where he's going to fail is when he tries to do a movie as Dan Whitney and not be the cable guy.
Yeah.
He kind of needs to be the cable guy.
But he can fail now. He has, you know, stadiums full of money.
But I'm saying, like, his audience will turn on him if he abandons that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's like Gallagher.
Yeah, well...
Gallagher's not really doing a character,
right.
But if he went out and was like, I'm Leo Gallagher, and he did something different, people would go, where's the hammer?
But for me, I feel like a better analogy is somebody like... God, I know this is going to bring up... But like Dom Novello.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Father Guido Sarducci.
Yeah.
He did...
Something else the kids don't know.
I know. Here we go. I know I'm winding up the Corey toy and letting it go.
Well, no, he did the Laszlo letters.
Okay, but I'm saying
he was at the John Stewart rally in D.C.
Yeah,
but I'm saying
that was
like,
great.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, really?
He doesn't have... I mean, he was never as big as Larry. The cable guy is now, but I'm saying...
No, but he was on Saturday
Night Live. It's the same thing. People don't recognize him as that, and so if he has fans, he has fans of that character, and to do something else.
Well, in his case, though, I think he's kind of a writer, and the Father Guido Sarducci is his like performance character.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
He doesn't really perform.
Well, he was in Godfather 3 as Dom, as just a regular guy.
All right.
Hmm.
Well, just like Bob Briggs did movies as John Bloom.
Mm-hmm.
But you sat there and go, wait, it's Joe Bob. He's in Casino.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, we could talk about obscure comedy characters.
All right, let's move along.
How about Gary Mule Deer? Is he done a show?
Gary Mule Deer.
Is he done it?
All right, let's...
What if
he's a name that hasn't been resurrected.
What if he did the new David Mamet movie? What if he did that?
All right, let's move along here.
Oh, dear.
All right, Eric's got to go. His phone's blowing up.
All right, are you blowing up? You got to go?
No, I'm okay.
All right.
Nothing important.
We're talking movies. I mean, go ahead. I was going to go on a TV jag. I guess we should mention America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
Because two guys that have both been on the show and that are friends of ours, Geechee Guy and J. Chris Newberg, are in the finals of America's Got Talent. They'll be in the live shows from L.A. in the next couple weeks.
Wow.
And they're in the running to win the $1 million. So good luck to those guys.
And I got a little early tip-off on this. Chris did tell me he was going to – that they wanted him to do the show.
Well, he only appeared on the show, like, the very final, like, audition show.
Right.
And then immediately following that was the first Vegas show. So he was on, like, two back-to-back shows in the same night.
Mm-hmm.
But Geechee was on weeks ago and did well.
But I'd known for a while, but I couldn't tell anybody.
But it also seemed like Chris wasn't going to get through because he only got two yeses. Piers Morgan hit the red X on him after his first...
He fucking hates comedians.
Yeah. Piers has no sense. Well, have you seen his show?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's no sense of humor. He's a mirthless fuck.
I think Piers liked Geechee, though.
He might have... No, he didn't like Geechee either.
He didn't like Geechee either?
No.
Well, either way, they're both in the finals.
He doesn't get jokes.
And so good luck to those guys.
Piers Morgan's exactly the kind of guy that's the worst kind of human being. Because he hates comedians... But then he has comedians on his show and tries to out-funny them.
Yeah.
Like he had Ricky Gervais on.
He figures if he can make the comedian laugh, he's the funniest guy.
He thinks he's a wit and a raconteur. Mm-hmm. Now, look, I know that my problems amount to nothing in this world, and I understand that there are real dangerous criminals out there. There are dope smugglers. There's Mexican drug cartels. There's Casey Anthony. There's criminal elements out there. There's horrible people.
Ted Wright.
Rapists, abuse. Right. Exactly. All of these things. All of these
things.
You
think I won't break balls.
There you go. All these things apply to Ted. But to me, the worst kind of human beings are the guys who are civilians who think they're funny.
Yeah.
Those, like, isn't it? You get the sensation, Eric.
Yeah, like, I understand.
People come up to you because they knew you were on the radio. And yes. They go, let me tell you a joke. And you're like, why don't you go tell a lawnmower this joke with your tongue?
Yeah.
Just put it into. Right. I'm just like, I couldn't hate those guys more.
That was like when you get a phone, when you get a live call and they're like, this is going to be so funny. You're like, yeah, is it? It's not, is it? It never is.
Oh, did you ever get guys that would just write material up and call you and like prepare their bits?
No. What I hated the most was when I would be out hanging out with people and somebody would say, hey, don't use this on your radio show.
Ah! That's the other thing. They're always like, hey, I got a joke you can use. No, you don't.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
If I want to bore the piss out of everyone listening, then yes, I will totally do that.
So
I'm like I don't want to hear your joke because I don't want to be accused of doing your hacky joke.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah,
right.
You can use this one.
Nope.
You can use this one on your show, Corey.
Yeah, how much do you get that, Joel?
Corey, you can use this one.
Dig, dig, diggity do. How much do you get of that?
I get a lot of that. And
right?
It's just like it's paid.
And they come after you. And then you've just gotten off stage and they've seen what you did.
Yeah.
Which is totally from yourself and has nothing to do with anybody else.
Yeah, yes.
And then they come up to you and they tell you some joke like, right. So a rabbi walks into a barn. And you're like, I'm not. No.
We don't do those. Yeah,
I'm not doing road jokes.
But I did. You know what? Here it is.
Do you have tits? I don't want to talk
people,
to you.
Some people.
That's
know,
the other thing.
But some people don't hear the form of comedy, or they don't understand. And this is a lot of times you see this with guys who do open mic. They don't understand what comedy is supposed to sound like.
Yes.
That comedy sounds like something. And I tell this to people who want to do it. Whenever I've taught the comedy class, the Comedy Castle, and filled in, I've always said this. I go, watch some stand-up. Listen to how they talk.
Right.
I'm not saying rip them off, but listen to the cadence. Listen to, you know, everything. A good comedian, everything they say leads to the punchline. Don't say anything if it doesn't have anything to the punchline. And you see people, and they just don't know how to be funny. They don't know how to be. And part of being funny is just being interesting.
Yes.
Keeping people there and waiting for when you're going to hit them with the punchline.
What I don't understand is there's so many people that don't even seem to consider that there needs to be someone hearing this and understanding
right,
it.
Yeah.
There's a second part of this that you actually. Well, somebody has to understand
people
you.
People hear it in their own head, and they think, oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, and they can't communicate it.
Well, too often what it is that it's specifically personal without being universally personal.
Sure, yes, it is. Mm. Yeah.
You always say, like, the best comedy is personal and from your soul, but it's got to be relatable.
Not personal, yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
It's not,
right.
What people do is they do personal incidents.
Right, yes.
And the personal incidents are funny to their friends,
but
they're not funny to you.
Yeah, when Uncle Bobby fell in a pie at Thanksgiving,
right.
It's funny around the Thanksgiving table every year,
yes.
But it may not work in a comedy club, you know?
You know, that this is an example, like a guy from the class, last class I did was like, telling a story about this camping trip he took with his sons. And I'm like, I'm sure that was hilarious at the time.
Yeah. And you and your kids probably have a great laugh about
Remember
it.
Remember when I stood in the mud pile? No, it's not funny to me because I didn't see it.
Yes.
You got to do it in a different way.
All right. Well, we're talking about movies. Let's wrap up. I was saying, America's Got Talent, watch that for Geechee and J. Chris Newberg.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be on in the next couple weeks.
It's really weird that we know Geechee.
Yeah, well, Geechee,
I remember watching him on Star Trek.
The first time
as a
I ever
kid.
Met Geechee was on the show. So if you listen back to when we were at the Detroit Comedy Festival and Geechee sat down with us, and since then I've hung out with him. He came to Club Bart a couple times. We went out and had breakfast.
Good fella.
My girlfriend went out to L.A. and saw his show at the Hooters Casino. And then he
really?
Yeah, my girlfriend went out to L.A. Vegas.
Hey,
Vegas.
How do we get that gig?
Get the Hooters Casino.
The Vegas is at the Hooters Casino. Yeah,
I'm going to need to get.
He
that
started
gig.
His own show.
Who books that?
Well, I don't know. Geechee got it through some connection, but Geechee, you know, Geechee's been around a while.
I've been to the Hooters Casino. I didn't see one girl in there. It was really fucked up.
Oh, well, that's probably true.
Yeah. You mean the girls? Oh, you mean like just...
The Hooter girl. Because I'm sure you were thinking like, oh, there's all kinds of eye candy to take a look at.
But there's not. Like,
I didn't see any.
The girls that are serving drinks, I think, are dressed
You'd
as
think
Hooters
so,
girls.
But I didn't see any.
My girlfriend was there. I wasn't. So, but she went and hung out with Geechee, so...
I felt ripped off. I was like, what the fuck?
That's, by the way, the difference between your girlfriend and mine.
What's that?
My girlfriend would never set foot in the Hooters
casino. No, she did. She wouldn't
she
either,
would like,
except for Geechee.
I'm going to tear this motherfucker down!
She got to
I'm
Vegas.
I'm going to burn it!
She got to Vegas, and she goes, doesn't Geechee have a show here? And I go, yeah. And she's like, give me Geechee's number. I'm going to call him. And you know, Geechee's the nicest guy in the world. So he's like, oh, yeah, I'll give you passes to come out. And she brought her cousin and her cousin's boyfriend out there. Then Geechee's like, well, there's an open mic at this other club, and I can get you on that.
Mm.
And Geechee got her an open mic spot somewhere.
Oh,
and,
he's a good guy, that
Geechee. He's a good guy. He might be trying to bang my girlfriend, but whatever. Geechee, we love you. And
let's be honest, most comedians are trying to bang everybody.
That's probably
what
no offense to
probably
Geech.
Probably true. Yeah.
He was a good guy.
I don't know. Geech is a good guy. I'm just kidding. But anyway, we're talking about movies. Wrap this up, Corey. You saw Horrible Bosses.
Horrible
Bosses
is pretty funny.
Week.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's good. I think it will probably do good business. It might be the Hangover again. Hangover 2 was terrible.
No, Hangover 2 wasn't terrible.
It just wasn't that good.
It was a retread.
It wasn't as good as the first one.
It did the exact same movie.
It was fine. There were lots of laughs in Hangover 2.
There was some. Maybe I'm being a little overly harsh on
Hangover took everybody surprise, and it had this great story that most comedies wouldn't have, sort of this mystery element. And, of course, Hangover 2 has exactly the same mystery
element. I've heard that, that actually you're the first positive review I've heard on Hangover 2.
Nah, Hangover 2.
Everyone else said it was a bag of diarrhea.
Yeah, that's because everyone else.
Fine. Because people expected, you know.
To be surprised again.
To be surprised again, and it doesn't do that, and that doesn't. That doesn't disqualify it from being a great
comedy. I would say
comedy.
That's something about this movie. They would be real hard pressed to do a sequel.
Yeah,
just in the structure of it
for the for Horrible Bosses.
Yeah, although they do almost set up sequel possibilities. But you sit there and go, yeah, I don't know how you could really redo this formula.
Well, I have the big question: Jennifer Aniston's tits? Yes or no?
No, I figured no, and that was a big, I think they were just drumming that up for
fucking
well, that's
publicity.
What I did. Look, when there was like a rumor out, they were like, we've got a topless Jennifer Aniston scene that's not in the movie.
Yeah. Which, by the way,
and I said, why is it not in the movie?
First of all, why is it not, you know, 1992 and she's doing a topless scene?
Yes.
For one, Jennifer Aniston's over the hill, let's be honest. I mean, not that she's not attractive, but.
Oh, come on. No, she looks great in the movie.
I'd rather see Frances McDormand.
For real.
All right, that's it for me. Frances McDormand.
Yeah. Finish. Yeah.
Okay. Oh my god.
He's gay. We covered that earlier. Can't get back to the
I am not
boss.
Gay unless someone's paying me.
Frances McDormand is fabulous.
Oh, I love that Frances McDormand.
Come on. That joke bombed.
There's
hooray.
It's a tough room,
and,
huh?
And now I'm getting beaten up. It's
I'm just saying, Jennifer Aniston is funny and looks good in the movie and does a lot of provocative stuff. She's in a bubble bath. There's a kind of a half boob, but you don't, you know what I mean?
Kind of a half boob.
Well, is it the side boob?
There's a scene where she's trying to, the whole premise, she's a bad boss because she's constantly trying to seduce Charlie Day.
No.
And he has a fiance and he's trying to be faithful. And she's just nonstop. You're gonna give me that dick, and you know she'll put her patience out and play with her junk and stuff. She's terrible, but there's a scene where she's like, "Come in here," and she's just wearing a coat and some panties. She's wearing a lab coat, so you see a little under boob, a little side action there. But no, they couldn't give us a topless scene because they're awful people.
Well, I think there are those shots. It was from that Vince Vaughn movie she did.
Oh, yeah.
Where she was naked, there was some, like, the still photographer, I think, took some
tan lines. Not a good deal.
So, Horrible Bosses, you're recommending?
Sometimes they'll surprise you late in their career, though. Like, Lucy Lawless pulled him out.
Yeah.
For no reason. She didn't have to.
Yeah, right.
What about Rene Russo?
Right, sure. She got naked later
on. Fantastic.
So, you're recommending Horrible Bosses?
I recommend Horrible Bosses. Look, it's a comedy. It's under 2 hours. It's like 100 minutes, which is perfect.
Yes.
It's funny.
Bridesmaids wasn't under 2 hours.
Right. Well, no, it wasn't. You know what's...
Bridesmaids was too fucking long.
Difference between this movie and Bridesmaids. There are no extraneous characters.
Yeah.
No... Oh. It has few moving parts. It's very streamlined, which is, I think, most really effective comedies need to be.
It looks like an Office Space. Is that a fair assessment? Or is it a little
it's a little
than
bit
that?
More... It's kind of got buddy comedy and Office, but when it gets dark, it goes dark.
Okay. Oh, really?
Like, Kevin Spacey is pretty miserable and an awful guy.
What a career and Jason Bateman's having all of a sudden.
If I have one critique, it's kind of that Jason Bateman's doing Michael Bluth. It's kind of people doing their same shtick.
Yeah, okay.
But it all works pretty well. Jamie Foxx is funny in it.
Really?
He's like the guy they consult. For him and his name, which I couldn't put in the paper, is Motherfucker Jones.
Okay, yes.
So they're gonna have to do a lot of bleeping on that when they run this.
When
on,
they puts that on TNT,
on TBS. Yeah, it's gonna be
okay. So
Mother Father Jones.
What about
Mother Father Jones?
Speaking of nudity, Friends with Benefits with Mila Kunis is coming out. No,
haven't seen it yet.
Oh, okay, because there was rumors that she would be naked in that.
Those are, of course, there's what we call bullshit.
Rubbing up and down on Justin Timberlake.
See, there were screening tickets available for last night, but I couldn't go.
Really?
So yeah.
They haven't told me about this thing.
Well, there was screenings.
By the way, they screened.
I know. I'm in the.
Here's what you can tell.
I'm more connected.
Here's what you can tell. Yeah, but see what they'll do is they've had a million friends with bands.
They had a million screenings of that. Yeah.
They had one at the Magic Bag.
Okay.
What they do is they do promo screenings, but they don't tell me about them.
Yeah.
Because they know I'm gonna hate it.
Yeah.
So. They try and bury the critic screening as close to the movie as possible so I don't get the word out. Like I've ever gone out and been, this is a piece of crap 3 months before it comes out. I never do. On the occasions when I do see something early.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what they did last night. They put Horrible Bosses and Zookeeper at the same time.
That is the new Kevin James movie.
And it
movie,
was the only screening of both.
Yeah.
So clearly they were like, don't go see Zookeeper.
Well, are they the same studio or the same?
They're competing studios, but they know what the other
one's they knew.
Doing.
Okay, so they scheduled the Zookeeper screening. Like
they were like,
hey, you're not going to get to see this.
Let's put this right against Horrible Bosses because no one's going to go to the Zookeeper over Horrible Bosses.
Come on, it's Kevin James. He's fat and there's animals.
There's a talking monkey.
Hilarious. You know, it's Paul Blart as Dr. Doolittle. I mean, that's what this looks like.
You know what? In certain cases.
By the way, that mall cop. That's got to be one of the all-time worst movies ever.
And how funny is it?
It really is truly despicably awful.
And that shows you the American public right there. There was actually number one, and there was actually a decent movie about a mall cop called Observe and Report.
Yeah, I love that movie.
I'm gonna stand up for Paul Blart Mall Cop. For the first
get out.
I'm gonna tell you for the first 15 minutes, it's about what a loser he is.
Yeah.
And I kind of enjoyed that. And then it became Fatty Falls Down.
It was so bad.
Right?
It was such a piece of shit.
It was Fatty Falls Down.
Such a horrible.
And it turned.
Piece of shit.
It was horrible, yeah.
But here's the thing about
how
that.
How many times have you been menaced?
The problem with that is
by extreme sport athletes. How many times, right? How many times have dangerous, organized gangs and extreme sports athletes menaced you?
I got run over by a windsurfer last week. It was terrible. I'm trying to get...
Going to therapy now.
These evil inline skating groups.
It was terrible.
They're running the streets.
I mean, every time... I can't sit on my back porch without the parkour guys jumping the fence. It's really horrible.
They're flipping.
I'm so afraid I'm going to get run over by a skateboarder. Where are the solar babies?
My problem...
They have to protect me. I need the solar babies.
I think that here's the thing. A movie like Paul Blart Mall Cop, it's not that it tries
There's
to be
a reference.
Funny and it fails. It's that it aims to be so low. It's so lowbrow. It aims to just be so, guy gets hit in the nuts. And it's so stupid. It's just, it's not,
never
you know, it completely
was.
Succeeds.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying it's a failure. Yeah. It succeeds at being dumb and people.
You can take kids to it.
That's a very distinct case of the same script. It's like a script copying scenario.
Yeah.
Observer Report was the original script. And someone hacked out a knockoff.
I think that's what happened. Although I don't know that ever.
That's
ever...
a dark comedy.
It's to the point. It's to the point where one of them stars Anna Faris.
Yeah.
And the other one stars Jemma Mays,
who looks exactly like Anna Faris. For the
it's
most
like
part.
The knockoff.
We did a whole thing on. Right. We did this on YouTube when that came out.
It's exactly what it is. Yeah. And this happens in Hollywood a lot of times. Though that you'll be like, hey, why are there two Crusade movies out at the same time?
Yeah.
Right? The same theme will come out. One of my favorite examples, go back to the 80s, like there was Deep Star 6, and then there was
The Abyss.
Leviathan.
And The Abyss came out.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And they were all like, well, how come we got movies about monsters attacking people underwater?
Yeah.
You know, it's because...
And a lot of them.
Or there was one year where there were, like, sharks, like Deep Blue Sea, and then there was another shark movie.
Yeah, open water.
You know, it was just like... They were copies of each other, and that's the worst example of it.
Yeah.
So hopefully no one will copy Zookeeper. Bob, it's a copy of Dr. Doolittle.
Exactly. Kevin James is dreadful.
Has he been in anything good? I know he did Chuck and Larry, which I don't think was very
good.
Not
a thing.
Oh, that was a horrible movie.
And didn't he do the movie with Will Smith where he was trying to hitch?
Hitch, yeah.
He was trying
hasn't
to
been in one pick, good movie.
He hasn't,
no.
That wasn't good either. I don't know.
The worst thing... Mall Cop looks like a masterpiece next to Grown Ups.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Grown Ups.
Yeah. That is...
Grown Ups had a lot of good people in it, though. Like
what was the Sandler movie this year? That's going to be on my all-time
Just
shit.
Go with it. With
Aniston.
Sandler's horrible now. Just
Sandler,
terrible.
Sandler is, as I've said in my reviews, he does not make movies. He takes vacations on studios dollars. That's what he does.
Every one of his movies is set in like Hawaii or something.
Go to Hawaii. Get Aniston and we'll go to Hawaii. We'll put on a bikini and I'll go. Bleh!
And there are still people that think that Sandler's funny.
It's terrible. It's
he was
really
decent
brutal.
Punch Drunk Love, I guess.
You know what though? But see, every that's the example of.
I like funny people, which I'm in the minority, but I liked it.
But you know, he's tried. That's the problem though. He has gotten zero positive reinforcement for doing other things.
Yeah.
Right? Jim Carrey has made great movies.
Yes.
And I would argue he made two of the best movies in the last 20 years. But he... Truman Show and Eternal Sunshine.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
So,
oh, my God.
So, right? He's the, those are two legitimate
That's a
classics.
Great movie.
But... So he's gotten critical respect.
I
Sandler didn't
I mean,
even get that.
Let's give it time, but Mr. Popper and his Penguins.
Yeah.
I mean, let's give it time.
Right.
I don't want to declare it, you know, great now,
what
but
saying,
maybe in the future we will see.
What I'm saying is, Carrey will occasionally take a risk and do, he did Man on the Moon, and that did really well. But he goes back to Mr. Popper's Penguins. But Sandler's now stuck where he's like, I'm not going back and doing it.
Did you like Schenectady, New York?
I didn't, but
yeah, I didn't either.
That's the one Charlie Kaufman movie I'm not,
but
and
it's
human nature I'm not real wild about.
Were you sitting on the edge of your seat that entire movie going like, I really want to get this, but I just don't?
No, I got it, and I didn't like it.
Yeah.
It was just dismal.
Yeah, it was very dismal.
Some of these movies try to do that whole, the entire universe is reflected in this metaphor of a film.
Yes.
And that one didn't work.
Hmm.
But it had a lot of big floppy titties from Emily.
Certainly
Mortimer.
Did.
Emily... Yeah.
All right. I just didn't understand why she was buying a house that was on fire. I was what's going on right now?
It's symbolism, Eric.
Yes, it is.
It's the same kind of symbolism you'll see when King Kong Bundy takes the comedy stage.
Yes, it's going to be.
He will be the brilliant. He's the Carlin of wrestling
comedians.
We
will have subtle social commentary coming to you from the Iron Sheik, Rowdy Roddy Piper, and
the big boss man.
So I think that's gonna be a fun show.
Is Akeem the African Dream
excited
still
to be
alive?
Working with those guys?
Is he available?
The one man gang. He's still alive.
About the Ugandan headhunter? Is he still around?
Kamala came to the gathering and like before the match hit a big blunt. From a guy at ringside.
What a surprise.
Yeah.
If you can get a set,
lay down.
If you can get a set from Rick Martel.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he's going to be there, but
if you can get some nice observational comedy out of Tatanka.
And I don't think
really
he's
going
to be there. Stop now. But I will try it again. I'll try to get David Tank Abbott to tell a couple of one-liners.
Flag that one.
All right, let's go. Let's get out of here. Thank you Eric Thomas. Thank you very much for joining us.
It was fun.
Eric,
I'm clapping myself now.
Can't wait to hear you on Real Radio.
Eric,
and I'm sure after
I
this,
hope so.
You can't wait to get on the Real Radio again because you've had enough of our shit.
I would like to be on radio.
Eric, do you still have fans from the old days that you could plug this to?
Yeah, probably.
You put it out there. Tell them about this and they can be terribly offended.
Yeah.
Well, Eric does his own podcast. Where do they get your podcast?
EricThomasPodcast.com.
EricThomasPodcast.com.
It's not nearly as long as this one. It's usually 20 minutes.
We're anything but succinct here on Joel Radio, but that's
okay.
Fine.
It's okay. It's fine.
And Corey, of course, thank you. And catch Corey Comedy Castle next week starting July 14th.
Comedy Castle next week. I'm in the trip into L.A. contest at Joey's in the semifinals. The 25th.
Okay.
At Joey's in the Bologna, so go check that out.
And, of course, Stand Up and Go starts next week, July 14th, at Go Comedy in Ferndale.
And what week am I doing it?
The 21st.
Okay,
I think the second week, Corey will be on there. See Eric on the 14th.
Yes.
But go to joelthecomic.com. I've got all the info for Stand Up and Go. I've got free passes up there. Read my essay, Goodbye to Club Bart, if you want to read something I think that's interesting. And
There you go.
And what else can I tell you? Let's just get out of here.
Yeah.
Thank everybody for listening to this. And that's it. We'll catch you next time.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen. And
Ausfahrt.
What does that mean? Goodbye?
Ausfahrt means exit.
Exit.
Ah.
Yeah.
Exit.
Eingang and Ausfahrt. Same way. All right. Let's not get into German.
Deutsche.
Hi. Sie haben Sie.
Ja.
Sie Deutsche.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's talk about the hilarious German... Let's talk about the top five hilarious German comedians.
All right, there it is. Corey Hall. You can call him Corey, or you can call him CJ.
You can call him Prick. Or you can call him Douchebag.
Yes. See you, everybody. Good night.